With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Taryn watches live feeds all day long. Brent's always there to say when he's wrong. They've got the feud that just won't quit. And Melissa's the one who has to deal with their sh**. They're the LSD. They don't do it for free. While you're living your life, they're watching TV. They're the LSD. They do it for you. And soon you'll be watching them too.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Big Brother 22 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing great. This has been an exciting week of feeds so far, especially yesterday and last night, I guess. That was pretty wild. So I literally cannot believe it's only the second week. It feels like we've been watching these people, and the way they're playing the game has been like months. Like, I don't even know. I'm very excited to talk about it.
Yes. Also with me today is Brent. How you doing, Brent?
I am doing well, but I am fed up with some of these people and I'm going to let them have it tonight. So just be warned.
Oh boy. Well, this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds, and we also talk through the Stockwatch, and we rate every player. We are not sponsored by any kind of soda brand. I don't know what's going on there. But we're going to rate every single player on their game and by how well they're doing in the house right now, their position, their quality as a player, 1 out of 10. We'll go through all of them. And we'll update the game, the Stockwatch game, if you are playing along at realitystockwatch.com. The prices will be updated and we'll check out who is on top. So let's get into it. Let's quickly talk about what has been going on in the week, and we'll give our thoughts as we go. At the start of the week, we saw that Memphis is the new HOH. He was looking at a couple of different options. The safety competition happened. A bunch of people played. Christmas wins it, gives the safety to Ian, and the nominations end up as Nicole Anthony and David. Then we saw that Memphis also won the veto, did not use it, which means one of Nicole Anthony or David will be going home this week. And that sort of sets the stage for the campaign trail between Nicole and David. What is going to happen and what kind of madness is going to ensue from the week? Melissa, how are you doing with the week so far?
A lot of ups and downs, I will say. There's been moments where I'm like, yes, it's all happening. And then it turns out that that really wasn't actually anything. And then because it gets ratted out to somebody like literally 2 seconds later and all my dreams are crushed. But really, I mean, when it comes to the campaign, like, send both these two home this week so we can move on, because I am so sick of like their terrible gameplay and their awful campaigning. It's like, it's literally a race to the bottom. It's like a race to like who can get themselves evicted. It's bewildering, really. Like, I don't understand like how they both could be so far off of what they need to be doing, and how they could be saying like the exact opposite of what they need to say, and like thinking the exact opposite of what they need to be thinking, or what they like reasonably should be thinking. Like, it's baffling, really. Like, it's infuriating to watch. And I'm done with both of those two, with Nicole and with David. And I just think that they both should be sent packing. I have literally no skin in the game when it comes to who's going to go this week, because I just feel like either one is bad, or I mean, either one is fine is what I mean. So, you know, it's been a frustrating time, as you can tell.
Ah, so frustrated. I was waiting for it.
I'm so frustrated. I feel like that's my catchphrase. Like, it's like I start the season off all excited and like, this is going to be a great season. Then literally week two, I'm like, I'm so frustrated. This is so frustrating, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. Brent, what are your thoughts on the week?
What are my thoughts? First of all, I think that Ian caught a lucky break, and, you know, good little bit of campaigning on his part to get that in with Christmas, who, you know, up until now we hadn't really heard from, to win the safety, because I do think there was a real chance that Ian could have gone home this week. So then it defaults to, you know, David and Nicole Anthony. And it's so frustrating watching Nicole Anthony. I rewatched the episode from Sunday, and it's so frustrating to watch her in the diary room being like, well, you're not going to tell me what to do. I tell me what to do. I'm not going to play in the competition just because you say. And it's just like, how can you feel safe when he says something like that to you? It's just, she had a lifeline there that she could have used and she didn't. And now it feels like she got an unlucky veto. From what we hear, it had something to do with strength and grip, and I'm guessing she's not good at something like that. And now she's probably out the door, and she's blaming Kacer and Janelle for all of her troubles. And it really ticks me off, because they've really done nothing but try to support her. I can understand a little bit where she's coming from in terms of, well, they keep including Memphis and all of their accountings insofar as who's with them. So of course they had something to do with it, but it's just not the truth. And everything, every other piece of evidence that you have seen, Nicole Anthony, has shown you that Kacer and Janelle are in fact on your side, and you still choose to disregard it because you somehow think you're being played by these people. And it's like Occam's razor. The simplest explanation is the key. The simplest explanation is they really had nothing to do with you going up and really didn't want you to go home and are fighting for you to stay in the game.
But yeah, and it doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense when, you know, she's sitting there saying, like, I could understand being upset or frustrated, being like, because, I mean, at that point, Janelle, I guess, had been telling her that she has Memphis, don't worry about it. And then, like, all of a sudden she's on the block. It seems like, okay, wait, what? I thought you said you had Memphis. But then at that point, it's like, she's now still saying that the people that she betrayed her and that she's the most mad at and that most she's coming back at, like the people that she's going to come back and get are Janelle and Kacer. When it's like, don't you see that Memphis put you on the block? Like, if anybody, it should be Memphis that you're coming after, like not Janelle and Kacer, who presumably, and who have told her that they tried to keep her off and it didn't work. Like, and I she mean, treats don't them, be mad that Melissa, they tried.
She acts like they're so high and mighty when in fact they have no one. Kacer and Janelle, as Ian told Tyler and other people, has no one. They have no one in the game. And she's mad at them. Maybe she thinks, rightly so, as Terrence pointed out in the live updates, that by being anti-Janelle and Kacer publicly will make her into a more enticing person to keep around. But she does that when she's just like talking to Kevin or something. It's just really infuriating.
It doesn't make any sense, too, because it's like, okay, I get it. Janelle and Kacer are your targets, and that's your one campaign strategy. Like, everyone's like, yeah, we know. So is everybody else trying to get them out. Like, we all are doing that. So, like, what can you offer me? And she's giving them nothing. She's literally just like, well, did you hear that I'm coming after Janelle and Kacer? It's like, yeah, we heard that, and that means nothing to us because David's willing to offer us. Well, I mean, not that David's doing a great job, but like David is willing to like say, like, I'm going to work with you and we'll be together, whatever. But like, I mean, it's like she's totally just like, it's just a one track mind. She's got her like goggles on, and all she wants to do is like, Janelle and Kacer, they betrayed me. And I think that also Kevin has like somehow totally brainwashed her. Like, she is so set that like Janelle and Kacer are these awful people and are making her look bad. And like, it's weird to me that she's just blindly trusting Kevin on that when Kevin doesn't know anything. Like,
yes. Thank you for reminding me, Melissa. That is something. So like, we all know that she's friends with Eric, Eric Curto, who was on The Slop yesterday with Rob. She says she's a co-host of a podcast, and he is the other part of the podcast for Reality Recaps. But let me tell you, Nicole Anthony, not every gay has all the answers. Let me tell you, he is not your best friend. This guy, Kevin, in the house, he has a wrong read. Taryn, you have gay friends. Melissa, you have gay friends. One of them is sitting in front of you. Do I have all the answers? Am I like some gay oracle?
Is this a trick question?
Like it's so ridiculous watching her like listen to Kevin as if he were like is the Messiah or something. Yeah. When in reality, he has such a skewed view of everything because of the mistakes that were made in week one by Janelle and Kacer, and also by Kevin a little bit. And it just really pisses me off.
You know, it really, yeah, it reminds me a lot, like Nicole Anthony so far to me reminds me a lot of Brent during Big Brother 20, where the evidence is just piling over and over about how good Tyler is as a player. But Brent just refuses to believe it and follows his own narrative for half the season. It will take half a season for Nicole to figure out that Janelle and Kacer are on her side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. By then it'll be too late, though.
Yeah.
But for me, it wasn't, though. I started giving Tyler more fair scores as the game went along.
Yeah, but luckily again, we didn't kick you out in week two.
I know, right? Well, that's good for me, too. Yeah.
It's actually very interesting for me to see like history completely repeat itself with almost every single person in the cast. Like, it's like everybody is falling into their old ways.
Yes.
Everybody who came into the game saying like, I'm going to do things differently this time is literally doing the exact same thing. We've got Tyler making final twos with everyone and joining in a six person alliance with six in the name. And then it's like, you've got like Cody growing up with like Memphis or whoever whoever he's deciding to grow up
Enzo,
with, like, all yeah. new. Like yeah. it's literally creating like the detonators again, essentially. And then you've got like Kevin, like with his reads, and then you've got Nicole, like on the outskirts, but trying to get into the main alliance, which she's never going to break, instead of just like combining all the like outsider people into one larger group before they all get picked off one by one. You've got Janelle and Kacer literally fighting for their lives every single week for seemingly no reason. You've got Christmas betraying everyone and being loyal to the people that we don't want her to be loyal to. It's just like every single person is doing exactly what they did last time. It's like nobody learns.
Also, there's a shades of Big Brother 19 just a bit to me, Taryn, because everyone in the house thinks that the big bad is this couple of people, these two people, and everyone else is like, well, that's the problem in the house. That's what we need to be against. And the mob mentality mm-hmm. just doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't sit well with most of Twitter. And any of these people that get kicked out are going to hear it from people when they get out, starting with Nicole Anthony, who I hope Eric makes her just not look at Twitter for at mm-hmm. least 3 days after she gets out of
three
the house
days.
Because it is not
months.
Going to be pretty. I mean, like, I did yeah. see her talking to Tyler earlier today, and she was like, you know, it's possible that Janelle and Kacer could be, you know, doing all these things and they could be on my side and maybe I'll be eating my words. And I'm like, you think? Because they've literally been on your side the entire time to the detriment of their own game. Like, mm-hmm. Anyway,
it's okay if you're like, okay, these two people are a problem. We need to get rid of them because they're so powerful, because they're so good, like whatever. But when it gets to that, like, okay, we need to like break them down like to each other and talk crap about them all the time. Like, that's when it gets very frustrating. It's like, if everyone would just literally admit that Janelle and Kacer are amazing and they feel threatened and intimidated by them, I'd feel so much better about the whole thing. Cause I'd be like, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what you should feel. But instead they're just like, oh my God, look where the rumors start. Look at what Kacer and Janelle are doing. They're bullying people into trying to join alliances with them. It's like, what? Like, just because you want to get them out, like, just say you want to get them out because they're powerful, like, or they're strong or whatever. Like, I don't like the constant talk. It's just constant.
Yes. Yeah, so let's set up like for those that are not following along on the feeds.
And God
fully,
bless you if you haven't been.
And they're like, wait, what is going on?
They're a little
here?
Bit confused as to why Nicole doesn't trust Janelle and Kacer if they're campaigning for her. So basically to try now, listen, it's a huge stretch. It's a huge leap of logic that's going on that's making this assumption happen. So any explanation is not going to suffice. Like, this is not trying to, like, rationalize what's happening or defend the read, but just trying to, like, detective work, solve the path that led to this weird outcome, right? So,
yes.
Last week, Kevin and Keisha were on the block. Janelle and Kacer campaigned hard for Keisha to stay. Now, they did at one point think, oh, let's give up. Let's stop trying to keep Keisha, and we'll just go to Kevin and be like, look, we're on your side. But if you recall, Devon kind of inserted herself into the situation and implied that they might have the votes, which pushed Janelle and Kacer to make a last minute strong push against Kevin and really pushed hard that, like, hey, you're a liar. He's a floater. You got to get him out. Keisha's the only one for us. And this all got back to Kevin, and Nicole saw what they were doing, and she was like, this is upsetting me. So Kevin was already anti Janelle and Kacer at this point. Heading into this week, Memphis wins the HOH, and Janelle and Kacer keep talking about how he's on their side when he's really not. And they come up with this theory with Nicole that Cody, Nicole, Franzel, Danny, and Tyler are running the house as a foursome. And we get Janelle and Kacer talking about, like, oh, we're going to go to Memphis. We're going to try and convince Memphis to, like, do something about this. Maybe go after Franzel or somebody so we can, like, do something about this power structure. So when the nominations come in and Nicole Anthony is up on the block next to David, Nicole Anthony is like, wait, what? Like, what happened here? Immediately following the nominations, Janelle and Kacer were both up in the HOH room laughing with Memphis about the nominations. And in that conversation, they were trying to be like, Memphis, what did you do? Why did you put up Nicole? We need Nicole here. You should take Nicole down and change this up if we have the opportunity, because these are terrible nominations. But they were also laughing in the course of the conversation. So, of course, that didn't look great. Then later that night, Janelle was upstairs with Memphis's wine for like 2 hours, just chilling and hanging out, which was all great for Janelle and Kacer because they needed to not get backdoored by Memphis. But it looked bad to people like Kevin, who were already predisposed to thinking that they were against him. And so Kevin went to Nicole and said, you just got screwed. They just were in on this. They're using you as a pawn. They're trying to divide the house, and they see you as expendable, clearly, and they're trying to play you. And Nicole, who had a very bad experience last time, started getting flashbacks. She said, oh my God, it's happening to me again, that I'm being used. There's this big group that includes Janelle and Kacer and Memphis and these other people, and I'm being used as this expendable pawn. And even though Janelle then comes up and says, I'm sorry, we didn't know Memphis was going to do this, she doesn't believe them. Like, why? How could you not know Memphis was going to do this? And if you didn't, why were you up there being chummy with him afterward? Why weren't you mad at him? And then they're trying to tell her that that they're campaigning for her. And she's like, I don't believe that you're campaigning. I don't believe that you're really on board with me. And they keep saying, like, do you trust Kevin? Do you think you have Kevin's vote? Because they've heard that Kevin is against them and spreading stuff, because he is. So they don't trust that Kevin's actually going to stick with Nicole. But Nicole takes it as, oh, you're telling me I can't trust my closest ally. You're telling me that I shouldn't trust. You're trying to set him up. You're trying to set up this split vote to divide the house, and you're using me. I'm expendable to you.
Not to stop you right there. She doesn't want a split vote. She wants a 12-0 vote with her headed out of the house. That's apparently what she wants right now.
So this is what Nicole is seeing. And she thinks that what Janelle is doing is what happened to her in season 21 when she was on the block and she got saved by a group of people that did not care about her, that were using her to blindside the other side of the house, namely Bella and Nick. And so she thinks that she's in the same spot again, where Janelle and Kacer are leading her on and voting to keep her just so that they can blindside the other side of the house or divide the house in some way that benefits them. That is her thought process, and it is insanely wrong.
It isn't that. That is the point. It is insanely wrong. I don't understand how, like, I understand a lot of that. I don't understand how she can make that last jump. What in God's name gives you the, I want to say the right, but the ability to think that Kacer and Janelle have any power in this house whatsoever? How many people can you count on your two hands that are against them? Almost everybody in the house is against them. How can you think that Kacer and Janelle would even have the power to do this to you, even if they wanted to do this to you, Melissa?
I just feel like a lot of this could all be solved by just like a good, honest conversation between like her and Janelle and Kacer, and just like, hey, this is how I'm feeling. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, what harm would that do? I get that she's had like conversations with them, but I feel like all of them are couched in like, I don't believe you and I'm going to catch you in a lie, or I'm going to like check your story with somebody afterwards. And I feel like none of these conversations are just like honest, open conversations where it's like, I feel like I'm being played and being betrayed, and just see like what they say. And I feel like I'm not getting that from Nicole. And I feel like she just is convinced that like she is being betrayed. And so there's no point in even having a conversation with them, and that she's just dumb with them. And I feel like that is the wrong move, because there is no place for her on the other side of the house. Does she not see that? Like, it's like, I don't know why her and Kevin and all these outsider people, once again, like, I just, it's a broken record at this point. It's like all the outsider people always think there's some in for them in the big alliance. Like, if you're not included in the big alliance, like, you're not in it. Like, you're not wanted and you're not going to get in it. And the only reason you're going to get in it is if you're being used for something. Like, it's crazy to me. Like,
And what makes it worse is that it's not only a bad read that she thinks that Janelle and Kacer are against her, but as you were talking about earlier, Melissa, it goes straight from bad read to like, hey, this is Nicole versus Jackson and Holly. This is Nicole mm-hmm. being snarky about Jackson, saying F this guy, saying mean things about Jackson that we're all applauding because Jackson's a douche, except she's doing it to Janelle, who is crying because she can't save Nicole because she cares about her so much. And that same like snarky attitude that was part of what made her a fan favorite is now being directed in a direction that is incorrect, and it's now terrible. And it sucks watching it. And that's why a lot of people are like very frustrated having to watch, like, today it was just like the whole day has been just Janelle sucks, she's terrible. Why would she do this? I hope people that saw her before see the real Janelle now. She really thinks that Janelle is Jackson.
It is infuriating. I want to like reach my hands through the screen and like shake her and be like, open your eyes, you are so beyond wrong. Like, because it's bad. It is so bad for Nicole. Like, it is so bad for her on the outside, like, to be doing this. Like, I mean, I feel scared for her when she gets out, just because, like, Janelle is, like, almost universally loved. And it's interesting to me that, like, you would think that somebody who's, like, universally loved for 2-3 seasons, like, you'd think that, like, okay, it's a pattern, like, she's probably loved this time. It's not going to be some crazy thing where she's not. I mean, I guess people.
I don't know though, Melissa. That's a bit of a got scared about. Yeah, that's a problem to me to think that way though, because Nicole Anthony was talking to, I think it was Kevin. I can't remember if it was Kevin. She talks to Kevin a lot. Where she was like, you know, I don't know why he made these nominations. He should like imply that her winning America's Favorite Player wasn't going to sit well with America because he placed David and Nicole Anthony on the block together, when in reality, we don't care that you're on the block, Nicole Anthony, because you're really ticking us off right now.
It's just, the whole thing is very hard to watch. And I do feel like today when Nicole was saying, you know, if I'm wrong about this, like it's going to be bad or whatever, like I might be wrong about this.
And I might eat my words. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing we need to see, because I feel like I would feel a lot more sympathetic towards her if she was like, I can't believe I was betrayed. Like, it seems like I was betrayed. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like, I just feel like the way that her and Kevin are like so set that Janelle is like this awful person when they're totally completely wrong. Like, that's where it gets me upset, because it's like, You're so wrong and you think you're so right.
And quite frankly, like if Janelle is the Jackson, then I feel like she is kinder to Jackson. And I take issue with, you know, how mm-hmm. she has handled that relationship post show to begin with. And so I feel like that makes it even more sort of like what are you doing here? Like mm-hmm. you're on the feeds talking about like, oh, yeah, they're lovely people, though. Meanwhile, like Janelle is the devil, right? Like it's not great.
It's just it's really bad. I mean, and look, like we're ragging on Nicole right now when like we could equally rag on David. Like he has not done himself any favors. In fact, he's done himself a lot of harm.
No favors
campaigning.
Yeah,
especially with Day. And I don't know if we're going to get into that yet, but like his handling of his conversation with her and the way he's basically gone around saying like, I have the votes and like not even. And then when he's campaigning to someone and they're like, I think I'm going to vote for Nicole. He's just like, got it. Cool. And then like moves on. It's like, no, you got to say something further. Like, I don't know. He's doing.
Here's the thing that frustrates me the most. Like all the house needs to do is look at the people who have not played the safety suite. Okay. Mm-hmm. To know who really feels the most comfortable in the house. Like those are the people who feel the best in the house. Memphis, Tyler, Danny, Nicole Franzel, and there's somebody else I can't remember who hasn't had a chance to play the safety suite yet.
At the very least, who feels comfortable with Memphis, right? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. Memphis literally said, I told Nicole Anthony to play in the safety suite, and he told almost everybody to play in the safety suite. He never said anything about Tyler, Danny, mm-hmm. Franzel, and he didn't say, oh, I told them to play in the safety suite.
Yeah,
too.
Where did David come from? David did play in the safety suite. That's so frustrating why nobody can put that together. He said, play in the safety suite. David did play in the safety suite. Tyler did not play in the safety suite, okay? Danny, Franzel did not play in the safety suite. Has he said jack shit about them? No. But can anybody put it together? No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's going on over there. In the meantime, the Memphis HOH has put a scare into some people because he refuses to go after Janelle and Kacer, who have now named that aforementioned group, Tyler, Cody, Franzel, and Danny. They named that group, and it became obvious to those four people that if Janelle or Kacer stay in the game and win an HOH, that two of them will be nominated. A third one will be put up after the veto if the veto is used. And that's terrible for their game. The whole point is that they need to keep their alliance a secret and have like parachute alliances that they can, you know, stay against if they're on the block together. And so they're trying to get Memphis to put these two up so that they lower the chances that any of them win HOH. But Memphis refuses to do it because he's a self-interested player, doesn't care about the group, and is going to keep them because they're not going to put him up. Because they're now scared, running scared, you have Danny running to Janelle and offering a deal. Hey, Janelle, let's make an alliance. Let's work together. Janelle at this point is, she knows that she's working, Danny's working the other side of the house. She knows that this is a panic move, right? She sees what Danny's doing, but Danny is in panic mode. She's like, let's make an alliance. Let's like include, you know, like Nicole Franzel and Cody, and yeah, I'm cool with Tyler. And you know, Kacer can be in it. It's like a cool new alliance that will definitely be long-term and also protect me next week in case you win an HOH. And Janelle sees right through this and just immediately goes around and spreads the fact that Danny just came up to her, offered an alliance, and included the same four people that she has been talking about. Now, this is the big mistake that is going to set a lot of dominoes in motion, because with this information getting out, Bailey and Devon in particular are realizing, hold on, we're in an alliance with Danny, but the alliance is Danny, Enzo, Cody, and us. Why were we not included in that alliance? Why is Danny doing these things with Janelle behind our backs, not telling us about it, including people like Tyler, not including people like us? We must be on the bottom of their hierarchy. And so they start worrying about this, and Devon gets into puzzle mode, and she starts thinking that she needs to start testing people to see where the true loyalties lie. So she starts spreading some lies, like saying Tyler approached her about an alliance that she approached him about, which she then gets caught doing. She tells that to Danny. Danny doesn't believe Tyler at first when he says that's a lie, but she eventually realizes that Tyler was telling the truth because Day tried the same thing on Franzel. And now they both know that Day was lying, but Tyler also doesn't trust Danny because she didn't trust him in that spot. And so now there's a lot of distrust going around. Cody is noticing that Day and Bay seem very skeptical about the whole alliance all of a sudden. So he's going up to them and being like, what's going on? Why aren't you telling me things that Janelle is telling, that spreading around? Why am I hearing it from Christmas and not you guys? And they're like, we need to talk more. There's like some communication issues. And he's like, yes, absolutely. But they're both now super skeptical of each other. And there's a possibility that Day and Bay, they're talking about actually flipping over to Janelle and Kacer because they don't think they have a place on the other side. And all of this chaos is happening. There's the alliance is starting to like break up a little bit. And then David goes to Davon and she asks him, hey, are you in an all boys alliance? Because that's a theory that Kacer's been thrown around with no proof. You just kind of assumed and it's been wrong for weeks. The whole two weeks. And David admits to it when it doesn't really exist quite yet. And that freaks Day out because he admits to it, but doesn't name the people in it. And so she starts running around and going, oh my God, David is in an all boys alliance. He confirmed it. We got to get him out. We have to vote him out. And so they almost formed this alliance with Janelle and Kacer. This is all from this morning's morning update, by the way, if you want the more detailed story. But the information immediately leaks out. Danny and Tyler and Cody, they go into damage control. They pull Davon and Bailey back in and they form a new 6-person alliance that is Cody, Danny, Tyler, Enzo, Davon, and Bailey called the Slick Six that nobody in this alliance thinks it's real, but it's just kind of like we're cool with each other even though none of us trust each other.
Yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah. David handled that conversation with Day so terribly. I mean, it's like it is totally okay to make more than one alliance. Like, that's fine. That's part of Big Brother. But the thing is that if in fact Day and Bay are your like true allies, then you would tell them about who is in the alliance. Like, if you're already going to admit that there's an alliance there, another alliance, an all boys alliance, and then not say who's in it, that just indicates that like, you don't fully believe that Day and Bay are your true allies. Like, you are using them as another alliance. Like, if I'm Day, I'm definitely going to be suspicious if he won't reveal all the details of that alliance, because then it shows that his true ally isn't me. He's allied to multiple groups of people and he feels a strong relationship with this alliance outside of me, and he won't tell it to me. If in fact the reason why he joined that all boys alliance was to protect me, if I'm Day, then you would tell me who's in it so I would know who's protecting me. Like, that would be the point. So it's like he just handled that so poorly. Like, if you're either don't tell her at all about it and deny it and keep it a secret as like another like fallback alliance that you have, or give all the information today and show her that you are her ally and that it's you two versus you and you three versus everybody else. So it was just very bad. Very bad.
Very bad from him. It's still frustrating
for her, but
yeah, it's still so frustrating for me to watch Davon continue to go to people just to seemingly spread gossip for the sake of spreading gossip. Like, honestly, Taryn, I think she's bored. Yeah. I really do. She gets herself into so much trouble just like
she's obsessed
yucking it
with
up.
The puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was interesting because even Bailey, when like she was talking to Janelle and Kacer about like, okay, they were like, do we have Day? Like, she won't commit. Like, do we have her? Bailey's like, you know, Davon, like, she's going to go do her research. She's going to then like figure it out and then come back to us. Like, it literally is like, you have to just let Day like go do her research, which is basically her like trying to get information from everybody.
The puzzle.
And, like, put together this puzzle. And then once she figures it out, she'll come to the group. But it's like, you're making so much mess in your wake that like it ends up being worse off for you. It's like you'd be better off like not fully having all the pieces, but like knowing a little bit of it or suspecting it and then like moving forward than like going to each person and asking about all these different things and like stirring up all this like dust, you know, it's not great.
Yeah. And, you know, I feel like there's a good comparison here as well, because Tyler was actually in a similar spot. In fact, Tyler was below Devon and Bailey in the power structure last week. He was not playing hard enough, and he was just kind of like sitting around, and he got brought in a little bit, but Day and Bay were much higher than him in the hierarchy. And so he was in a sort of similar position. He kind of saw that something was wrong, that he wasn't being talked to a lot. But instead of trying to like figure out, can I trust these people by testing them? He decided to go to work just getting closer to Cody, talking with him more, hanging out with him more, trying to form more of a personal bond. He did that, and Tyler ends up working his way into the power structure and then bringing in some other people that are loyal to him. And now Tyler is in a much stronger position, deeply embedded in this structure versus Day's tactic, which is, I'm feeling a little uncomfortable here. I'm going to retreat. I'm going to pull out and inspect this and test it and try to figure out if it's where I should be. But when she pulls out, she's, you know, ceding her spot in the structure, and she's telling people that she doesn't trust them, and she's proving herself to be untrustworthy. It's the opposite of what you need to do. If you don't feel like you can trust something, you need to get closer to it and be and put on the facade of I trust you. Because Tyler doesn't trust these people. He doesn't trust Danny at all. And Danny, who is inclined to not trust Tyler, trusts Tyler. And now he knows he can't trust Danny, and she trusts him, which is where you want it to be, and as opposed to you don't trust them and they don't trust you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, I feel like that if they just went with the simplest explanation again, just look at who was the first HOH? Cody. Who are the people who feel comfortable around Cody? Tyler, Enzo, Danny. You see them up in the HOH room talking a fair amount the first week and quite a bit the second week when they're talking to Cody. Like, why can't you put that together that they might be working together? Oh, look, those happen to be almost all of the people who are eligible for the safety suite next week, who didn't feel at all worried about being nominated for eviction come Thursday night. The only person who did was Cody, but the entire house knows that that was a facade. Everyone knows that Cody just played in it for show. So I don't know why they don't, why don't they realize who's really pulling all the strings here? Why do they underestimate Tyler? It is so frustrating to me that people continually underestimate Tyler. Danny continues to underestimate Tyler, much to her own detriment. And like, if she gets screwed over by Tyler and Tyler outplays her, I'm going to stand up and applaud Tyler, because Danny's also really frustrating me right now. Like, I don't understand why people don't want to be in an alliance or work with Janelle and Kacer. They are, I think I said this last week, they are so loyal. They really will go to bat for you, and they'll fall on their sword for you when they get nominated first and you're there to pick up the pieces. Why wouldn't you work with somebody like that? Also, they're really freaking cool people. Like, I mean, most of these people are in the house for other reasons anyway. Like, why don't work with the people who Twitter actually loves rather than these assholes over here like Christmas and Cody, who no one asked for back? Why are you working with Franzel? No one likes Franzel. Why are you working with her? Do something for us for a change. It
Brent,
is a TV
she has
show.
Nine bridesmaids.
Yeah, she was asked to Nicole's wedding, Franzel's wedding. So I don't know if you knew about that. I was not asked to Franzel's wedding.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. We should talk about the Franzel and Janelle situation because Janelle has just been so awful to Nicole Franzel, who invited her to her wedding and came into this game already not liking her, saying mean things about her. It's awful. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but like all of this Janelle love has really been striking a wrong chord with me with the way that she treats Nicole Franzel after being invited to her wedding.
I literally can't even pretend like this, Taryn. It hurts me too much. I cannot.
Melissa, she's going to call. She's going to call production.
Go for it. I literally.
Melissa.
I can't speak bad about Janelle. I'm sorry. I just can't do it. Janelle has done nothing wrong. And look, right? I mean, if Nicole France.
Technical difficulties. Oh, no. Something has been done to the stream.
Oh, no. Production. The Franzel. Look, I have to say Nicole Franzel is doing a great job. I have to give her credit. I think that she does this sort of thing on purpose to garner sympathy. And I think the problem is that she doesn't want to admit that she's doing that.
Yep.
I think totally. That's like her one, not her one fault, but you know what I mean? Like that's her biggest
fault
with the fans is that she doesn't want to admit that any of the stuff that she says is used to gain sympathy from the other players. I mean, like saying, I invited her to my wedding. Yeah. Like I invite, you know, I thought we were on good terms. Look what happened. Like, I don't know what's going on. Well, you know, like that is, that literally is being used. It's like being deployed strategically.
And very effectively.
It is. It's very effective.
Yeah.
Because everybody else is like, look how sad Nicole is. Look how like hurt she is. She doesn't know what she did. She doesn't know what the problem is. Like, you're not doing anything. And Janelle is just mean. She's just nasty. And like, it's working. It's totally working. And I'm very impressed. It obviously would be a lot more fun if she would admit that these are things that she is doing and maybe let the audience in on it and not, you know, or like kind of wink up at the camera or anything like that.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know, yeah.
I mean, look, like, I have to give her credit. I do think Nicole Franzel is playing a good game. I think she's playing it really well with Ian. It's like, Ian is literally like her little puppy dog at this point. Like, she is not being a good ally to him. And yet he wants to include her in everything and do whatever she says. And it's like, Kayser even pointed it out to him so plainly. Like, she made another alliance without you. Would I ever make another alliance without Janelle? No. So she's not your Janelle. You guys aren't Janelle and Kayser. Like, you're not us. Like, that is the difference. And if I am Ian, I would sit there and like take a step back and be like, oh my God, like that's right. She did make another alliance without me. Like clearly, like maybe it's to protect me, but like it the fact that she won't like truly let me in on whatever else she's doing and whatever other plans. Like if I was Ian, I would know that there's no way that she's not involved in any other alliance or involved.
Oh, I think
in
he
any
does. I think that he's just willing to bet that Franzel will pick him over the alliance. But I think
but
that is
like
a wrong assumption.
She should be letting him into all the information. Like if those two are truly like,
yes, I agree
allies,
with that. Yes.
They need to share this information. I mean, even Tyler was saying that like when Level 6 got together, everybody spilled everything to each other about all the other alliances in the house. Like there was no secrets between any of the Level 6 people, according to him. And so it's like, that's what you need from an ally. And that's when you know you're number one and with that ally.
Well, I think you have to look at the prior seasons. And in Tyler's season, his allies spilled everything to everyone. Yes. In Ian's season, he was worked by Dan the whole time. He was never brought in. He was used by Dan, wasn't told information, was just given directions. And I think that Ian's strategy, he told us this was his strategy at the start of the season in his intro. And I know how proud he is of those comp wins. He really feels very confident that he can win a lot of competitions, that his strategy is, I just need to survive to the second half of the game. And then I'll just comp my way out. Like I'll just win enough competitions that they can't get me out. And the thing that worries me is that if that is his strategy, he has been checked out of Big Brother for the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. He didn't watch. He stopped watching in season 19, which is exactly when the competition started getting so much more physical, especially in the end game. And if he thinks that he's going to be able to replicate the string of competition wins that he was able to put together that were the reason he made it to the end in 14, I think he's going to find a very different game in the same way that Cliff did and Nicole did last season. It's not going to be good. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about the state of the house for a second here. We have a bunch of alliances going on now. There's still the core four, which is Cody, Enzo, Franzel, and Danny. This alliance, I think, is it's Danny's main priority. It's Franzel's, I think, main priority, you know, beyond like the pair of Franzel and Danny or Franzel and Cody or whatever. In terms of like bigger alliance, it's their main priority. For Cody and Enzo, though, they are not fully invested in this alliance anymore. Neither of them trust Danny all that much, and they don't think that they can fully rely on Franzel either. So they are not fully invested, but Franzel and Danny, I think, are. We then have the Slick Six, which is Cody, Tyler, Enzo, Day, Bay, and Danny. I don't think anybody in this alliance considers it a main thing or even a real thing at all. Literally just there as like a facade for everybody, for every party. We have another fake alliance, which is not even a real alliance at this point. I call it the fake Janelle and Kacer crew. It's Janelle, Kacer, Bailey, Devon, and Christmas. It's the alliance that's in their head. Bailey, Devon, and Christmas are all not with them. So it's really just the two of them. We have the committee, I think, which is Memphis's group of six. Memphis, Christmas, Tyler, Cody, Danny, and Franzel. Now, this is the priority for Memphis and Christmas in terms of big alliances. But for everybody else, I think they have bigger priorities. There's the commission, which is Memphis and Cody as a duo. And this is, I think, Memphis's main priority, his alliance with Cody, but it's not Cody's main priority. You have Devon and Bailey, who are each other's priority, and they also kind of have David. You have Cody and Enzo, who I think are each other's main priorities, but they also have Tyler there involved with them. It's not Tyler's main priority, though. You have Tyler and David as a final two. You have Tyler and Christmas, and I think this is the one Tyler is most dedicated to. And then you have Franzel and Ian, the Million Club, who are working together, who it's Ian's biggest priority, but not Franzel's. So that's the big mess.
Yeah.
Too many alliances with like overlapping people in it. I feel like if I was in the house, I'd be so confused. And I know they are getting confused sometimes, but like, it just feels like it's like, if every alliance is essentially like the same thing, except swap out like one or two people, like there's bound to be confusion.
I don't understand why Bailey and Devon don't work with somebody like Kacer and Janelle, pulling David, pulling Kevin.
The problem is that this is the problem. Last night, it almost happened. They went into a room with Janelle and Kacer, and they were starting to make an alliance. And Devon immediately ratted it out to Kevin, who ratted it out to Danny. And Christmas, who was in the room, immediately ratted it out to Tyler and Nicole Franzel.
Okay, I see why Christmas rats it out, because like, we all knew that she like was super happy to be included in that Memphis thing. And I swear she's going to like ride that thing to the end, like her in that big group and like thinking that it's real, even though everybody else is like, this isn't real. Whatever. Especially with her whole like DR sesh where she's like, I'm so happy to prove myself to the group and like win a comp.
Her. Whatever.
Like,
the problem is Devon leaking to Kevin. Yeah, that like, needs to be healed.
Yeah. Like that's the thing is like, I get that Christmas leaks it. We assume she would, but like, why would Day go and leak it to Kevin? And I get that they were working together initially, but it's like, if you're included in this like alliance, like you can't keep it a secret for like 5 minutes and see how it works and see if you think you want to like join it. Instead, you just immediately leave. Like what? Why? But like Taryn,
she can't keep her mouth shut. She cannot keep her mouth shut.
It's what
is that literally what it is? Is that what it is? It's like literally there's no strategic reason behind it. It's just like she just decides to just
she feels cool with with Kevin and she wants to talk some tea with him.
She also like
what good does that do even for her to like tell Kevin that she's in conversations with other people outside of Kevin? Like all it does is just make Kevin be like, okay, so people are having conversations without me. Like
she also doesn't fully trust Kacer and Janelle. Like all of the rumors and stuff going on, they have an effect even on Devon, and she doesn't fully trust them. And she also knows that Bay is a lot closer to them than she is. If she jumps in on that alliance, she is on the bottom of it. And
yeah, but on the bottom of a 4-person alliance versus a 10-person alliance.
Christmas is there, who she doesn't have much of a relationship with. I think that, I think, again, in her mind, she's obsessed with the puzzle. She's obsessed with making sure that everything fits in properly. And if it doesn't, then she's gonna go and try and figure it out. Talking to Kevin, and it's, yeah.
Here's the thing about the state of the house, right? The thing that's frustrating to me is that so many people play Big Brother scared, when in reality, you know the way it's going to go. There's going to be a big alliance, and they're going to continually pick people off, and they're going to keep people quiet until it's your turn. Basically, it's like a lamb being led to the slaughter. That's what's happening right now with Davon and Bailey. They don't have agency in the real power structure in the house. They're being kept to the outside of it, or barely on the inside of it. And when the time comes after Janelle and Kacer are eliminated, it's going to be them who sits on the block. And they're going to say, where did we go wrong? This is where you went wrong. You're not doing enough to put yourself in the position to have options within the game. That's mm-hmm. where I see their problem is, because Day and Bay, they say things to each other like, well, I hope that they're true to this. I hope that we can trust them. Who? What are you talking about? Go out there and give yourself options. Do something with yourself and don't include other people. Just pick a few people and do something so that you have other options in the game, so that you're covered, so you don't have to depend on people like Cody and Enzo and Tyler's of the world. People who really have no interest in having your best interests at heart, even if you broke it down to the simplest form.
They were fine too. Like they had Cody did talk about Davon in particular, that Davon has a relationship with his brother. They came in tight. They had probably a tighter bond than anyone else on the season. Certainly more than Nicole, certainly more than Memphis, certainly more than Tyler. They had more reason to work with each other than anyone else. And he came in wanting to work with her and really wanting to protect her. And he brought her in and he made sure that she was a priority. Not a main priority, no. But she was enough of a priority that she would have been good for at least until jury, probably a little bit further. And she also had relationships on the outside with people like Kevin, who's, let's face it, going to be here for a while. And she did have Bailey, who had connections to Janelle and Kacer, who, if on the off chance that that other side wins an HOH and takes a shot, that she would be able to direct the aim somewhere other than Davon. And she also had David, who is in with Tyler and in with this group as well, as kind of a secret weapon kind of deal. They had a lot of pieces in place where they were in a good spot. I think it could have been better, and I think that they could have slowly worked to make it better, but Davon in particular, she just blew it up because it wasn't perfect. And now she's against Cody, and that's a really bad place to be in the house right now, unless you get lucky and Janelle and Kacer win an HOH and take him out next week. Because if that doesn't happen, then we're going to see that it's going to be a much, much harder hill to climb for these two as they try to move forward in the game.
Yeah, I think it's really going to come down to the next HOH or the next couple HOHs. Just I think for sure, if Janelle and Kacer win this HOH, I think that they could absolutely form a solid alliance with people and get people on their side, not just a fake thing. I actually think they could really get something real. But, you know, if we get another Cody side HOH, it's not great. And I think the key is also in Big Brother, having knowledge and having intel is key. And when you share that intel just willy-nilly, it loses its power. And I think that that's part of the problem with Davon, is that she gets all this information and she's so good at collecting information, but then the second she gets it, she goes and tells everybody, and then everybody knows it and everyone's upset because they're thinking that she's lying to them, or she is lying to them, or she's fishing, or doesn't trust them, whatever. And it ends up coming back to bite her, even though initially she had all that power by having all that knowledge. But
yeah. And while we're talking about Kevin really quickly, it does frustrate me, and I blame Janie for part of this as well, that whole relationship that should be fine, but for reasons that we know of because of what happened in week one, it's not fine. I really wish Janie at some point would have said to Kevin, hey, look, I I ride with Keisha. She's my girl. I love her. I just want you to know nothing against you. Like if you stay this week, I got your back. Like I want to work with you. It sucks that both of you are on the block. I have to back Keisha on this one, but I would love to work with you. Like, to really try to smooth it over with him. She never really did that I saw. And then that just allows Kevin, who I also blame, because he should realize that just because they were trying to keep Keisha does not mean that they are anti-Kevin. Like,
to be fair.
I know, but they could. But now they're not. But they now, have no reason to I go mean, after Kevin.
Yeah,
now.
Doesn't he see that he's completely on the outs and, like, he has absolutely no in with the Cody side of the
house?
Yeah,
some of these people are like, use me. Or, sorry, some of these people are like, I don't use me. They don't want to be used. They're like, I don't just want to be a number for them. What you should be saying is, please use me. Use me. I want to feel useful to other people. That mm-hmm. way I can find ins and different cracks and things. If people know that I am useful to them, then I can be brought into something. What does Kevin have going on right now? Does he really think he said, like Melissa, I think he said, I like Cody and Tyler. Yeah. In what universe are you ever going to get to the end of the game with them? It's so frustrating.
No, they don't want to work with him at all. Like, and he has no relationship with them.
Like, that would be like me being in the house and saying, you know what? I'm going to work with Tyler.
I mean, like no this, way. This was Kevin's game. And the first time he played, he stuck with like one person and he kind of just didn't commit to anything in particular. Sometimes he was working with the Jesse crowd. Sometimes he was working with the Jeff crowd and people just left him alone until he became a dangerous entity unto himself. And I do think that might happen again. To be honest, I think they are going to ignore Kevin for a long time. And if they do, we might see Big Brother 11 toward the end of Big Brother 11, Kevin come back.
I think
back.
Here's the thing is, I think that's fine. If that's your strategy, then that's fine. Obviously, like,
not
it's not going to give you a win. Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, if that's your strategy, that's fine. But it's not going to give you a win, probably. I mean, unless it's like a super bitter jury or something crazy happens, like maybe. But like, the problem is that like, anytime he opens his mouth, he's absolutely wrong. And whatever he's saying, he's completely wrong. He has a totally wrong read on the house. He has no idea what's going on. He's poisoning the minds of people in the house, like with his wrong reads. And it's like, that's where it's like, oh, okay. You have literally no idea what you're doing. That like, if he had kept his mouth shut, or if like anytime he opened his mouth, he was like absolutely spot on. And he was just like observing everyone, but like not really making any moves. I'd be like, okay, I get it. I see it. You don't want to get involved in like the alliances, but you're just kind of like laying low, but you like see what's going on. But he has literally no clue what's going on. And so it just, he's not good. Like he's not playing a good game.
Yes.
I mean, that's the struggle here. It's like, I was really excited for him to come back because like he just seemed really intelligent and like really smart. And I thought he was going to have like a totally spot on read on everything. But it's just like the problem is he's so convinced that he's right. And yet he's so wrong.
No, and none of the people that we thought had good reads have had good reads.
No. Kevin, oh, my God. Kevin, like David. And Nicole and David, everyone is so wrong. Everyone is just wrong about everything. The only person who I've seen be right about things is like Faye. And Tyler and Kacer. And even Kacer, like, sometimes is, like, totally off. But then he becomes
also,
right.
The thing that worries me about Kevin is, like, look, if we got to the end of Big Brother 22 All-Stars and Kevin somehow makes a run at it, I would be thrilled because he really should have won Big Brother 11. And I love Kevin. I think he has a lot of personality. He's very fun. I think he's filling Nicole Anthony's head with a bunch of crap right now. But I do think he's very fun. He's a good representative for Big Brother. The thing that's worrying me is that Taryn, I don't know that the story would be the same. I think that the big alliance, like Big Brother 20, would just, you know, we think, oh, he's going to get to the end of the game because no one's going to worry about him. But there were a lot of people in Big Brother 20 that I thought would get to the end of the game that people wouldn't worry about. But they did worry about them because they were faithful to the alliance. And then the alliance held strong.
The game is different.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't want that to happen to Kevin. So if he's counting on a game plan like that, you know, directly or indirectly, I don't think that's going to happen this time.
All right. Are you guys ready for the stock watch?
Yes. I got some people to, well, never mind. I was going to say paddle, but I don't want to get people's hopes up.
All right. Well, let's do it again in alphabetical order. We'll start with Bailey. Bailey, who last week, actually, I don't have the...
I was going to say, is there a way to see our previous rating?
There could have been if I'd set it up properly. Bailey last week was an 8 overall. Myself and Melissa gave her 8s. Brent and the audience gave her 7s. So that's where Bailey was before. Brent, where are you on Bailey this week?
Okay. I just want you all to know, I personally love Bailey. I think she's amazing. Okay. I think she is a bright light in the Big Brother house, someone who I love watching every moment that she's on the feeds. I'm just being real with you. I would love for her to win Big Brother 22. For real. It would be like amazing if she got to the end. However, I'm going to drop her down a peg. I gave her a 7 last week and I'm going to give her a 6 this week. And here's the reason why. Because I feel like that she has an alliance with Davon, with Black Girl Magic, and she is being harmed by Davon and some of her shabby play right now. And I feel like it's bringing Bay down with her. And she's going to be loyal to Davon. She really is. But as long as Davon continues to play this way, and you can tell my Davon rating isn't going to be great either, she's going to continue to be hurt in the power structure of the Big Brother game. Overall, her place last week, I thought, was relatively good. Like, she wasn't at the center of anything, but she was kind of in the Steve Moses spot where she was like just on the outside of the power structure, but definitely in the power structure of the main alliance. Now, she's not. She's really on the outskirts with Davon. And if you believe Taryn, that after they get Janelle or Kacer out in week 3, assuming and the HOH goes against them, that Bailey and Davon might sit on the block in week 4, and one of them might not make jury. And that could be Bailey. So I do think that her position in the house has disimproved lately. And she would do well to follow her own instincts for the most part, because I feel like her reads have been mostly good. I don't want to like totally trash Davon and say her reads have been bad, but some of them have been really bad. But I feel like that Bay knows best. So Bay needs to listen to Bay more.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with that. I like everything you just said was spot on. And I also am dropping her down just 1 to 7 because I really like the game that she's playing and I like her reads on the house and I want her desperately to team up with Janelle and Kacer, which I do feel like
desperate.
She wants to do.
Desperate.
So I know when they were, when that sequence was going on, when it was literally like first, right. like Kacer talks to Ian and Ian seems a little bit receptive. And then he goes to, and then they both talk to Day and Bay and like, it's like, and they seem receptive and it's like, okay, things are happening. And
you know
Kacer's
what I wanted?
Doing his speech where he's like, I'm not going to have this, you know?
Right. I wanted them to make like Quack Pack 2.0 where it's like, you know, Bay and Day, Kacer and Janelle and Ian.
Yes.
You know, like right
and that's
in that
what it
spot.
Seemed like was going to happen.
And then Janie vetoes Sian out of nowhere.
That was such a bad call. I mean, Christmas, like, and I get it because Christmas, like, she seems so genuine and she seems so, like, nice and, like, you know, it seems like she's the type of person who would get along with. And like anytime I see her on the feeds or wherever in the diary room, I actually really like her. And I remember tweeting this when Christmas was on her season. It's like, for whatever reason, I cannot help but like want to like Christmas, even though she makes me so angry sometimes. Like, I just want to like her. She just is very likable to me. And so I get it, but I don't like it. And it's bad for her game. But anyway, back to Bailey. I really like Bailey's reads in the house. I feel like she can put herself in a good position, and I think she will. But I think right now she's in a worse off position than she was last week.
Yeah, I gave I don't see it updated, but I gave Bailey a 6. Yes.
And I do agree with Brent on this one, as does the audience, who also gave her a 6. I feel like the problem here for Bailey is that she was in a good position, but it has deteriorated. I think her social game remains like completely on point here.
Awesome.
She's still very good socially. I think the problem that she had in Big Brother 20 was the strategic game was part of it. Part of it too was that she, when she won power strategically, she made mistakes, right? And so I'm starting to see a little bit of that in the week right now, where Bailey is making these small errors. She's trusting Devon a little too much to sort of guide the direction of where they're going. She's exposing the fact that she doesn't trust people a little too much. And there are a lot of things that are getting in the way of her game. She no longer has any real ins in that main power structure. If you think about all of the people in there, she doesn't have a solid connection to any of them anymore. Not really Danny. Maybe Christmas, but it's hard. You can barely count Christmas as part of the power structure.
Yeah.
You have Day, who's also on the outs with her now. Her only connections are with people outside of the power structure now who are in a lot of trouble. And she really has to hope that there is an HOH from Janelle or Kacer who need to win an HOH. And here's the problem, too. I'm worried that Day and Bay. Look, they have two options in front of them, I think. They cannot choose the third option because there are three options total, but there's two good options. One is fully embrace Cody's group and just work your way back in on them, work on those relationships, get in back into the core, do a Vanessa, do a Tyler, do anything you need to get back into that power structure. That's one option that they can do, and it might, they might find some success there. Second option, go full in with Janelle and Kacer. Try to win the HOH. If you win or if they win, go right at Cody. Take a big swing and try to break the whole thing up as much as possible. Do not throw the HOH. Gun for it. Win it and take a big swing. You have to do that. The third option is let's just try and coast in this spot for a little while and hope that things work out.
No, no, no. That is the problem. Melissa, take it.
God, you made me so excited when you were just talking about them taking a big swing and joining up with your, like, that's what you want to see. And honestly, like, my thought is, like, if I were to play in Big Brother, like, and if it's an all-star season and I've already done my season, whatever, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do whatever it takes to just, like, make big moves, try my best. I'm not just going to, like, go in there and, like, coast to the end. And I just feel like, You want to play it up for the fans. You want to make it big. Like, I mean, you're getting paid to be there anyway. Like, I feel like that's, it's different than a regular season where you're getting paid like a little stipend, like week by week. Like, you've already gotten paid $40,000, whatever it is. Like, just go in guns blazing, do what the fans want. I mean, a lot of the point of being in an all-star season is to like, give the fans what they want. And especially for some of these people, like, who are coming in with like bad reputations or like less than great reputations. Like, I'm talking about like Christmas, or I'm talking about Nicole Franzel and stuff like that. Like, you want to go in and you want to give the fans what they want. You want to like just go and play as hard as you can. And like, I just feel like if Day and Bay, I think it is a huge mistake if they throw HOH and if they don't go for it, or if they just try and like weasel their way back into like the power structure. Like, that's so sad. And I don't want to see that. And I don't think anyone else wants to see that. So like, I just say go for it.
No, like, why? I don't understand why they don't take a big swing and why they don't pick option A or option B, but it definitely does feel like they are picking option C. They just want to be safe. They just want to coast in the middle. They just want other things to happen around them as long as they're safe. But if you play the Big Brother game that way, you're going to be eliminated.
They're not safe. They think if they're sitting there thinking like, we're just going to sit here and coast in the middle, like where we're safe, you're not safe. Like, people are already thinking about you. So like,
and
don't
let me tell you this,
that you can
here's
just
the other
stay
thing.
In that position.
If they decided, you know what, we're going to take option A, we're going to go in big with Cody and Enzo. We're going to make this work. We're going to win HOH. We're going to show them that we care. We're going to get Kacer's ass up on the block. Sorry, kids. We're here to play and win the money this year. That's what we need to do. I would also stand them. I wouldn't like it as much, but I would stand them, and I would I would really be behind them trying to make an assertive move to get themselves back into the power structure of the game. But right now, this ain't it, Chief.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I do want to make a quick correction here to talk about Christmas for a second. I accidentally read Christmas's rating for Bailey. Christmas was given a 6 by the audience. The audience actually did give Bailey a 7. So that will land Bailey at a 7 overall and not
things.
A 6. It does change. I thought I saw a lot of
people
upset. Yes, the audience actually agreed with Melissa on that one. I apologize, Alexandra, for the inconvenience there.
Yeah, that makes a difference because I think Bailey at an 8, even if she went down to a 7, you still made some money.
There was a difference, Bailey going,
yeah. But Bailey going down to a 6 would have mean you lost a little bit of money. So that definitely makes a difference.
Yes. So there you go. The audience, though, and it was, I'll tell you, it was close. It was close between a 6 and a 7 on Bailey there. But the audience did give Christmas a 6. So I'm seeing a lot of happy people in the chat. So there you go. Christmas a 6. Melissa, how do you feel about Christmas?
This is tough because at the beginning of the week when she won the safety suite and then saved Ian, I felt like that was a very bad move for her. I mean, it was great for us because I was really happy to see Ian save and see Memphis try and figure out another plan. But I think it's bad for Christmas because, number one, it already shows that she's a threat. She didn't need that safety suite. And she just was like so thrilled about it in the diary room. And I was like, what are you doing? Like, why? She's like, I'm so happy I got to compete and prove myself. When literally everybody else was saying, hell no, I am not going to compete in the safety suite and use up my safety this week just to like hide our alliance. There's no way. And then Chris is like, I'll do it. This is great. I'm excited to play. It'll be fun. And it's like, she's clearly doesn't have like her head in the game. But aside from that, she also upset Memphis because Memphis was like, Ian was my target. Like I was going to put him up and now Christmas has ruined that. And so I halfway through the week, I was like, Christmas is in a bad spot. She's not in a good place. But it does seem like now at the other half of the week, people want to work with her and they're interested in pulling her in. And it doesn't seem like Janelle and Kaser are aware at all that she like should not be pulled in. And it seems like she's still doing okay in the house and she's working with Tyler. She still seems to be like, you know, set with him. So I do feel like she's not in as bad of a place as I would have thought she would be. But I don't necessarily feel like she's in a much better spot. So I'm kind of inclined to just stay at my 5.
Okay. Brent?
So I think I gave her, what did I give her? I gave her 4 last week. I'm actually up to a 6 this week on Christmas. I feel positive about Christmas's game. Look, she's a little too cheery in the DR. Let me just be real with you about that. I can't really stand
just in the DR.
Yeah, just in the, well, you know, for the moment, but it really grates on me in the DR. Like things are just happy, hunky dory. That's what I'm looking for. Hunky dory as far as Christmas is concerned in the Big Brother house. Like it's always Christmas time. And I do agree with the person, I can't remember who it was, or I would give you credit, who said the reason that Grodner brought back Christmas is because they're so in love with that goddamn jingle sound every time that someone says her name or does anything with Christmas. That's the reason that they brought her back. As far as the game is concerned, though, I gave her a 6. And this is the reason why, because I think she's playing a good game. She's social as hell. People like her. They trust her. There's a reason why Kaser kept talking the minute Christmas walked into the room and he didn't miss a beat. She's somebody that people feel like is honest. She portrays herself as being honest. She portrays herself as not being one of those sneaky people. Did you see the way that I was on Big Brother 19? I had ride or die with Paul and Josh and we took it all the way to the end. Think that people are actually buying that. Of course, they don't remember all the times that Christmas was lying to the other people in Big Brother 19 and screw them over, but that's neither here nor there. So as far as Big Brother 22 is concerned, it's a 6 for me, and honestly, I kind of wanted to give her a 7, but I don't know how she's going to react when like the kitchen gets hot. So I'm giving her a 6 for now.
I was between a 6 and a 7. And like, I actually like, because I did do the ratings ahead of time this time for myself.
Me too.
And I put in a 7 and then I changed it to a 6 and I changed it back to a 7. And Then I change it back to a 6. She's in a very good spot. Nobody is coming for her. I think she's very safe, and I think that's great. The problem is that I don't think she got in this spot on purpose. I think she accidentally found herself here. She just happened to be somebody that Kacer had a weird read on, and that's why he approached Christmas and thinks that Christmas is somebody that they can work with, when in reality, it's not really true. And she doesn't do a great job of playing the role either. It's just that Janelle and Kacer don't really have a lot of other options anyway. I don't think this spot is really going to last all that much. On top of that, she gives away all of her information to Tyler, and most of her information to the Memphis group, who are all just kind of like using her to some degree. So she still has kind of a hill to climb here. But I do think that she has a decent chance to do well in this game. I think that she will probably last a while. I think that she is going to maybe be good at competitions, and that's valuable. But she does talk about herself a lot. And she, when she is like, her social game is just enough that like she gets along with people, but not enough that she doesn't start to grate on people, and not enough that she can like really make intense personal connections with people. And I think that's going to get in the way of potentially winning the game in the end. And I don't try to take that too much into account, because there's a lot of game to be played. And especially for somebody like Christmas, who might win a lot of competitions, it might not matter, because competitions can outweigh social game when it comes to jury votes. But I do think it matters when it comes to being included in the power structure, being seen as disposable, and I don't know if she can hold this sort of like double agent role for too long. And so I'm going to have to go with a 6, and that's going to give Christmas a 6.
Yeah, it's fair. I don't know where, like, has Christmas ever done anything that someone didn't tell her to do in the Big Brother house? Like, I know she never
not
did
that I'm aware of
with Paul. So like, she's going to have to do something of her own volition to get herself in a good spot. Like, mm-hmm. other people do things to put themselves in good spots. She does things, it seems like, for other people to get into good spots. Does that make sense?
She's loyal, you might
She's
say.
A people pleaser.
Yeah. Let's talk about Cody. Now, Cody's an interesting one. I gave him an 8 last time, and I felt very good about what he was doing last week. I do not feel as good about what he's doing this week. I do think that he is still in the best position within the power structure, but he is vulnerable to being targeted next week. It's not out of the realm of possibility. If Janelle or Kacer wins an HOH and they have like, you know, slightly more than a, you know, 10% chance of winning, like, I don't know, like just guessing, like a 15% chance, like that's not insignificant. And if they do, they are targeting Cody specifically. We're looking at Cody and Tyler probably on the block, with Cody as the target. And with Tyler on the block next to him, I do think that Cody could be sent home. I think it could be close, but I think he could be sent home. And the fact that he could be sent home as early as next week, that's going to be big for me, because I don't see anybody being talked out of this. I think that they are gunning for Cody. They have been doing it for a while. Kacer and Janelle keep talking this week. There's a recurring argument they have that's been taking place over the week, which is, can you believe, Kacer, how dumb you were last week when you were telling me that you wanted to work with Cody, that you got tricked by Cody because he's so charismatic into wanting to work with him? And Kacer goes, what? No, that wasn't me. That was you. You were the one that said that we should work with Cody. And Janelle's like, no, it was you. Like, they're making fun of each other for having the audacity of ever entertaining the thought of working with Cody. I don't see that really changing as early as next week. And that makes me worry for Cody in terms of, staying in the house. He also cannot compete in the safety competition, although I think some people would save him from in the safety competition if they won it. So that's probably his biggest saving grace. So, with all that in mind, I also have to account for the fact that this was his first real challenge in the game that he has had to deal with without the aid of Derek. And I was not super impressed with how he dealt with it. typically what you'd see in a situation like this where people are starting to stray and worry is that Cody would have sat down with Derek. He would have given him the information. They would have processed it together and they would have come up with a game plan. They would have executed the game plan. Everything would have been fine by the end of the day. It's not what happened here with Cody. Cody kind of approached it a little more emotionally. It's kind of what we expected from him. He approached A and Bay and he tried to be like, why are you doing this? You should trust me. And that wasn't the way to do it. And they ended up separating. They don't trust Cody anymore. And the group has weakened in its influence and power. And if this is an indication of Cody's ability to hold a group like this together, I don't have nearly as much faith in his ability to keep it together long term. So with all that in mind, it's going to be a 6 for Cody from me. Brent, what are your thoughts?
So I gave him a 7 last week and I was vacillating between giving him a 6 and a 6 or a 7 this week. And ultimately I came down to keeping it at a 7. And this is the reason why. Assuming Nicole Anthony gets evicted, there's only going to be 5 people playing in the safety competition. Tyler's one of those people. Memphis is one of those people. I think both people would also save Cody. I think Enzo is actually one of those people as well. So Enzo, I think, would also save Cody. So 3 people next week competing, I think, would all save Cody and make him their +1. Add to that the fact that there's a veto that I have every confidence he could win. And that's assuming that Kacer and Janelle win HOH, which again is like 15% chance. But you know, who knows what the competition's going to be. And he's very social. People like Cody. I know that Janie and Kacer really aren't feeling him lately, but a lot of people in the house are. They like Cody and they get along with him well, and I think they see Cody as being less sneaky than Tyler. Although actually, now that I think about it, I don't know if that's totally true. I think they see them about the same, maybe Cody a little bit less. I think they see Cody as a little bit less trustworthy than Tyler and less sneaky than Tyler, but still, like, they trust him. So overall I kept it at a 7. I just like dropping Cody down to a 6. Like, basically, I'm like, I almost want to give him a 6, but I'm like, I'm not going to be fooled again. Like, I feel like Cody's going to do well. He's got a golden path set up in front of him. Like, we all know how this is going to end. So, like, until the story changes, I'm not going to buy the bullshit anymore. I'm like, I'm already preparing myself for I'm preparing myself for Franzl to be in the final 2. Like, I really am. Like, Franzl, really.
Well, that'll
I'm telling
buy.
You guys.
Yeah. Spoilers for Franzl.
Yeah. I really am. I think that I just don't even know what it would take at this point to get her out of the house. But we're on Cody, and it's a 7.
All right, yeah, Melissa.
I think I would give Cody a 7 as well. I gave him an 8 last week. And so I do think he's in a worse off position just because there are people who are targeting him, whereas last week it didn't seem like anybody was interested in targeting him, or at least they thought that he would want to work with them and wouldn't want to, you know, go against him. But it does seem like now he has more people targeting him. However, it's only a couple people. And also he has so many other people on his side, like Brent said, people who would compete in the safety suite and save him. And also the fact is that there are a lot of people that if Cody ends up on the block next to them by the end of the week, I think Cody would stay for a lot of them. And so I think there's only some specific circumstances where Cody would go home at the end of the week if he's on the block. And so I do think that I don't see him going home next week. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But at this point, I don't see him going home.
I would
home.
Be stunned if that actually happened. Mm-hmm. If Cody actually went home in week 3 of All-Stars.
I just don't see it.
We got a whole new game. But like,
yeah, totally. It'd be really exciting, but I don't think it's happening. And so that's why I do think he's in a worse off position just because he does have people targeting him. But
while we're on it,
not that bad.
Since we've already discussed Bailey, what would Bailey do if she won HOH, Taryn?
That's what I'm saying. That's like, I think she would need to take a shot, because who else is she going to go after? Like Ian?
I don't know if she would. I honestly don't think that she would take a shot. Like, I mean, I think she'd take a shot, but I don't think she would take like the big shot. Like, I don't think she'd go against Cody. I think she might try and like pick off someone from that side of the house maybe, but I don't know if
she put up Franzl.
She doesn't have much of a relationship with her.
I could see a situation where
Cody?
She's like, I'm not working with Nicole. So
it's a weird shot to take though. Like, if you're going to put up Franzl, you might as well take a shot at Cody.
Yeah. But I don't know the
But she could
actually,
just say, like, Nicole is my target. Like, I'm going to put up somebody else, like, and not piss off Cody.
Oh, but maybe. Cody's going to be pissed off.
Well, yeah, but at that point, she thinks he's might not be.
Yeah.
Like, right? Because, like, I don't know.
And this is the problem. This is why I think she's not going to try very hard.
Ugh.
The chat is saying Memphis and Ian.
I don't think she goes for Memphis because that pisses off Janelle and Kacer just as much as anything else.
And I don't think she goes for Ian because I feel like she recognizes that Ian isn't like. I don't know.
let's not forget she has a gentleman's agreement with Memphis. but even beyond that, like she talks well of Memphis. Like she speaks highly of Memphis, not highly, but like she feels comfortable with Memphis because she was one of the only people he said he was not going to put on the block prior to the nominations. And Day has recognized that. She's like, Bay got a confirmation that she was good. I didn't get one of those. Why didn't I get one of those? I don't know. It could be Danny, yeah. I guess. I don't know. Like I said, I think she would need to take the shot. It definitely wouldn't be Christmas.
I'm worried that she could be talked into Janelle and Kacer. I really am. Like if
please
the, like
no. If, please can, no. Oh my God.
I think it could be like Fessy, where like he wins and then we're happy and then like
and then we're devastated.
And then we're devastated, yeah. Because like he's an idiot and puts up Scotty or something. Like I feel like that Bay could win and then like Cody's up in her ear, Tyler's in her ear, Franzel's in her ear. They're all saying the same thing. You know, you gotta put up Janelle and Kacer here. Like you gotta
I don't know.
God, that would be so sad.
I will listen.
You know,
listen,
Bailey's stock would like plummet. Ever would be
to me.
So pissed.
Bailey has an excellent life outside the house. Okay, she really does. I'm hoping she just says screw all you. I'm gonna do what I want, and I'm hoping she does. But that she's got to win it first. So we'll see.
Yeah, if she's really playing for Day, like Swaggy says, then just. No, take the shot
gun
of Cody and
it.
Go down,
then
right?
Gun
yeah.
for it.
That's the only thing that can save Day's game at this point, I think. So the audience, in a very close vote, gave Cody a 7. There you go.
All right.
So 7 for Cody. Let's talk about Danny. Danny, let's start with Brent. How do you feel about Danny?
I mean, here's the thing. I feel relatively good about Danny. I really do. I know that she's made a few people distrustful of her, Tyler in particular, but like Tyler isn't inclined to go against her anytime soon. So overall, I feel like she's played a pretty good game. I gave her a 7 last week, but I am going to slightly knock her down to a 6. I do think that there are a couple of different ways that she could end up on the block. Ironically, I don't think that Janelle is one of those ways. I don't think that Janelle ever goes after Danny. I think that Janie even said something on the feeds at one point about how she's just made an agreement with, right? That was the thing that we got outside this house. She made an agreement with Danny not to target her, even though
yes.
Danny doesn't have any gripes about targeting Janelle. Like it's a one-way deal as far as Danny is concerned. So, I don't know, but I do think there are a couple ways that she could go out, and she's played a little messier this week. Also, like even though the talk with Memphis, you know, it's not going to pay any immediate dividends insofar as causing anything bad to happen to her. I do feel like that her anger at Memphis when she was discussing possibly backdooring Janelle and Kacer before the veto happened. Like the anger was showing on her face. Like you could tell that she was irritated. Now, if Memphis, I don't know if Memphis picked up on that or not. I kind of feel like he did, but she doesn't know how to hide her feelings that well. And she's not a good liar. You talked about that on the feed update today with Mel, but overall, I don't trust her. So I did knock her down a peg to a 6.
Melissa.
You're muted.
Sorry, I'm muted.
Yeah.
I think I have to give her a 6 as well. And I gave her an 8. I thought she was playing a really great game. I thought that she was making a bunch of allies and really kind of just blending in. Like, besides actually like making allies, I thought that there wasn't anything really negative I could point out last week. But I do feel like this week, she's being a little messy and she's telling people things that maybe she shouldn't be telling them, or like, making people distrust her, and overall, she's not really helping herself at all. If anything, she's hurting herself. So I just feel like she's not playing that great, and I'm not very impressed. I there's not really that much more to say. I think that she just isn't playing as well as she was last week, and I have less faith in her moving forward, but you know, we'll see.
All right. I also gave her a 6. Six is across the board for me so far. This week has really leveled out the field a little bit more than before, I think, and people are not playing nearly as well this week as they did last week, in my opinion. It was a major screw up to make try to make this alliance with Janelle. Yeah. Big mistake. It caused her to have to cover for that for days. It caused big ripples in her alliance. Another screw up, choosing to not believe Tyler and the Tyler versus Day situation and make it obvious that she didn't believe Tyler, then go to Tyler and be like, now I trust you. She's completely lost Tyler's trust. She's also lost Cody's trust. Cody doesn't trust her very much either. But despite all of that, she does remain in a good position. Nobody's coming for her anytime soon. And even if Janelle or Kacer win, Janelle has this deal that they in the pregame, right? So she's good. She's covered on all sides. And because Bailey and Devon screwed up so bad, they are now below her in the pecking order. So she's not even at the bottom of that. So she has a long time to recover from any of these, any of the mistakes that were made. The only problem is she made these mistakes, which tells me she's probably going to make more in the future. Six from me.
That's where I'm coming from too. Like, as far as like her actual play this week, I feel like it's more indicative of like a 5 or a 4. Yeah. But I've always talked about this when I give out my ratings. Like, if I'm not sure of what to do with someone, I'm looking at their play and I'm looking at their position, I'm always going to side with the position in the house. Like, what is their position? Because position is king. You can overcome a lot in the Big Brother house through, you know, with bad strategy and, you know, bad moves that you make if you're positioned well. But, you know, bad positioning just usually leaves you out the door.
Yeah, and she played so well last week that making the mistakes this week did not knock her down as far as she would have gone down if she had not been so well insulated.
Yeah.
The audience agrees with us. They gave her a 6 as well. So it's going to be straight 6s on the board for Dani.
Yikes, that's a fall.
Is that a fall? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was an 8.
Ooh, yep. There it is.
Sorry to whoever bought Dani stock.
I almost bought Dani.
Almost. All right. So let's talk about David. David, I am going to give David a 2.
Me too. Oh my God.
Me too.
Go ahead.
He's been campaigning terribly, telling Janelle that he's gunning for Memphis and that she's in the crosshairs, but he'll maybe give her a week. Terrible move to tell Day about the boys thing. It was just terribly delivered. He continues to not win competitions. He continues to not be well respected in the house and as a game player. Really, the only positive that he has for going for him is that he's got Tyler in his corner. And let me tell you, I have no idea what's going on here, but I was reading some updates as we talked, and he was like questioning if he actually had Tyler to people, which is definitely going to get back to Tyler, and that's not going to be good news for him. So I will also give him this, that Memphis came for him pretty hard, and I do think that he responded well, that he played it up for sympathy and he did not rise to it. A lot of players in this situation wouldn't be able to help themselves, and they would fight with Memphis, and they would make it obvious that they're against Memphis. David is able to keep his cool, and I do think that that is valuable in the game. So like, it's, you know, he's not going home probably, and he's not like just completely dead in the water, but it's hard to see David winning this game.
It really is. I have to say, I don't think I have ever seen someone in the Big Brother house, and maybe I'm being unfair, but you know, I have a short memory. Someone who is as bad with his emotional intelligence as David is. He has able to talk with people, how to respond to people, how to empathize with people. Maybe he does on the inside, but on the outside, it's completely and utterly absent. there is no one in the house who is worse at trying to empathize with people than David. Really? Maybe Kacer can be a little aloof at times, but he can have a real conversation with people. I just don't like David. He's so stop and start sometimes with his EI or emotional intelligence, we call it. Like, and I think he even read a book on it. Yeah, the book, the chat is reminding me, he read the book that Nicole Franzel also read, apparently. But he doesn't show it. And it's really frustrating. Like, honestly, I really like the chat mad because I didn't give him the paddle. But like overall, like strategy wise and like game wise, he totally deserves the paddle. I don't know of a player I've seen who's as bad as David. But his position is okay. Like, he's going to survive this week. And once he does, then, you know, who besides Memphis is really irritated with him right now?
Yeah, he's got another like 70 days to turn it around, right? So I don't have a lot of faith that he will, but it's not quite a one.
Yeah, I agree. It's a two for me. And the same as you guys said, like, it's like he just made one bad move after another this week. It's just like he went from a spot where it was like, he's for sure staying. Nicole is definitely leaving. Like, no need to really even do anything because you're going to stay. To, like, turning it around and making it so that he was probably going to go home at one point. And now it seems like he's not going to go home anymore. But it's like,
through nothing that he did.
Yeah. Like, it's like, why are you doing that? Like, stop. You're making this worse for yourself. And it's just, it really is just like one stupid move after another. It's not even like, okay, but I get what he was doing with that. Like, I understand it. No, like, none of it makes any sense. He's pissing people off. He's like, you know, I mean, the Janelle thing, the day thing, it's like everything is not good for him. And so I'm not thrilled with the
Taryn,
way he's playing right now, unfortunately.
Melissa, how could David walk away from that conversation with Davon and just let it be? How do you do that game?
Let me tell
I'd be
you,
like, okay, wait, this is like really bad, especially after like, you can tell that Day, that is not the answer Day was expecting to hear when Day is like, okay, wait, sorry, I forgot what I was going to ask. Like, and the whole conversation stops after you basically say like, yep, I'm in a guy's alliance.
And
like,
the conversation he had to make up with her today to apologize, it was about like 30 seconds to a minute of him just being like, look, you know, I got things that I've got to do and I can't tell you everything, but I've got your back. And she's just literally just sitting there like, okay. He's like, great. Okay. So bye. Glad we solved that. Hug, yeah. Leave, done.
Doesn't he understand that if you tell someone, like, I'm not going to tell you everything when supposedly they're your, like, number one ally, like, that's not going to convince them of anything. That's not going to make them feel comfortable with you. That's going to make them distrust you because they're going to know that you're withholding information from them. Like, that's the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's funny to me that he was known for his reads in this last season. And look, I was the person that was saying this is more edit than what I'm seeing on the feeds. But I mean, I like the guy. He seems nice.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah,
he's sweet. I would love to be friends with him outside the house, but within the house, he's a terrible player. He really is a terrible player. He just has no way of connecting with people. Even somebody who's inclined to work with him, like Davon, who says, hey, who told Nicole Anthony flat out, I'm not going to vote against David this week. That even that relationship is tenuous because of his misplay.
Mm-hmm. The audience, not quite as hard on him as we are. They gave him a 3. So he is going to remain, though, there at a 2 overall. Let's talk about Davon.
Let's talk about Davon.
Brent, do you want to start?
Yeah, y'all aren't going to be happy with me, but I gave David a 2 and I gave Davon a 3. I really, really did not like her play this week. I think that she's really messy. I don't think she can help herself. I think that this is a lot of the same thing that I saw on 17 and 18, where she just gets a little bored and like she figures out the puzzle, but then she doesn't know what to do with the answer to the puzzle. She's bringing down Bailey with her. That's the worst part. She's bringing down Bailey, who I am also rooting for. I gave her a 5 last week because I still was not fully trusting that she was going to be able to keep her mouth shut. And boy, was I proven correct on that, because she has made mistakes all over the place. The thing about starting a lie and putting it out there to see that if you can trust someone, like, the ramifications of some move like that are just profound. And the fact that she can't see that is baffling to me. But I'm sure in her eyes, she thinks that she did something amazing. Like, ooh, I found the culprit. I solved the puzzle, whatever the hell. Like, it's just shabby, shabby play from Davon.
Yeah, I mean, the what they said at the end of last night to each other was, and I think it was Bay that I think it was Day that said this, like, at least now we know.
Whoopee!
Like, that doesn't do much for you. I gave her a 4. I was too high on her last week. I gave her a 7 last week. I had so much faith in Day coming into the season. Even last week, I was like, yes, let's go. Day is in a great spot. Right. This is what I wanted to see. And I was very disappointed with what I saw this week, all over the place, coming up with unnecessary lies, exposing how little she trusts the people she's working with. She lost the loyalty of everyone in the power structure and has not done well to integrate herself with the outsiders either. She's not in good with Janelle or Kacer. She does have a relationship with Kevin, but we'll see how much that's valued. She does have a relationship with David, but that's been a little bit strained. But that's it. Like, that's all. Like, she has those two people in Bay. She has nobody else in the game right now. And there are a lot of people in power that she is not connected to and that do not trust her in really any way. Now she has time to make this up. She has time to change this around. Probably. Yeah. But for right now, this is bad news for her current positioning in the game. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'd give her a 4. I gave her a 6 last week. And I do think that her gameplay has suffered this week. I think that she, it's kind of interesting because it's like, I do like the idea of like, okay, expose her, like expose a lie from somebody, but like, don't do that multiple times and don't like get caught doing it and all that sort of stuff. It just ends up getting really complicated and people don't end up trusting you. So I think that was kind of not great, obviously. And then also, like, when people approach you with an alliance or wanting to work with you, like, she just is just so hesitant about it. And like, Bailey had to basically tell Janelle and Kacer, like, this is her thing. She, you know, this is the way Day operates. She has to go do some research. And like, even Day during the conversation was like, I don't know, like, you know, but what about XYZ or like, what about last week? Da, da, da. And it's like, when someone approaches you with something, just say yes. Just be like, yeah, absolutely. I'm interested in working with you. Like, whatever. Like, you don't have to like fully, like, you know, like cut your hand and like touch their palm with your blood or whatever. Like, just like literally all you need to do is just say like, yeah, that interests me, or at least like seem interested. But if you seem hesitant, like, people are going to be suspicious of that. And I feel like Day is like thinking to herself, like, you should want to work with me. You should feel lucky to get to work with me. And so I'm going to like pick and choose my options, when really like that might not be the case at this point. So yeah, I don't think she played that well this week, but I do feel like her and Bailey can turn it around. I really like seeing them work together, and I really hope they team up with Janelle and Kacer, please.
Mm-hmm. All right. So the audience gave Davon a 5 out of 10. They were a little bit higher on Davon than the rest of us.
You love Davon, so you gave her a 5. I see what's happening.
All right. Let's talk about Enzo. Let's talk about Enzo. Last week, I gave Enzo an 8. And I have to say, I have no reason to go lower than that this week. I feel good about my 8 with Enzo. I feel like he's one of the few people that was not touched at all by any of the drama or paranoia. He's continually the one person that everyone's like, well, even if we go after this group, Enzo's cool. Let's not target Enzo. Even with Davon and Bailey,
it's going to happen. Yeah.
Daily is a good, why is that not the alliance name? Daily, like, it's perfect.
Yeah. Even Daily are like, they feel like they can work with Enzo. If like Cody's gone, like if like whatever, whatever happens, like Enzo is still a very valued piece on the board. Enzo, probably one of the safest people heading into next week. I don't think anybody would put him on the block or target him. Maybe Janelle or Kacer might use him as a pawn. It's possible. But I have to imagine that they'd go with somebody else instead, just because it's not really worth agitating him, and they don't see him as connected to the rest of them. So he's deeply embedded in the power structure as well. I think he's Cody's number one. He is included in all, pretty much every alliance except for the Memphis one, but he's like an honorary member of that one. Not seen as a big threat, despite the fact that he is one of few people that has won a competition this season so far. So I actually really like Enzo's position. My one fault is still always going to be, can he win a jury vote? He doesn't make those personal one-on-one connections, but his ability to win competitions and the fact that he's probably going to be here for a while gives him a lot of leverage and a lot of opportunity. So once again, it's going to be an 8 from me. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything that makes me think that he's played any worse this week or put himself in a worse off position. If anything, like, it does seem like he's in about the same place as he was. He seems, like you said, untouched. The only thing that makes me not want to increase his score is just because I haven't seen him do anything to like merit an increase. It just seems like he's kind of just doing exactly what he does, which is just kind of like be personable and friendly and funny and stay below the radar and make people want to work with him. And like, that's kind of his thing. But I haven't seen him like make any really inroads with anyone else that he wasn't already making inroads with. And I haven't really seen like any sort of like, it doesn't seem to me like he's a number one person for anyone. Like, I know that him and Cody have something going on, but I feel like Cody's got his hands in a lot of different cookie jars. So it doesn't necessarily feel like Enzo's the number one, like those two to the end. Maybe that's the case, but I don't really know for sure. So I'm going to keep Enzo at a 7.
All right. Brent.
Yes. So I was low on Enzo last week. I gave him a 6, but I did increase my score. In fact, I am going to give him an 8 this week. I think that Enzo is literally the safest person in the house. I really don't think that he would go up even as a pawn. Maybe there's a universe where that could happen where, like, you know, the safety saves two people. Somebody else wins the veto, saves someone else on the block. And maybe he has to go up in that instance. But even then, I don't think he's going to be sent home. I do think that he does a good job. I think that he did a, I don't know. I don't, I think he did a good job connecting with people in Big Brother 12. I just think that the problem was that other people did more, like Hayden did more. Hayden connected with people, but he also won competitions. Lane connected with people, but he also won competitions. Like nobody really looked at Enzo as somebody who was a mover and shaker of the game. Whereas I do feel like this time people, even more like Enzo. He's more well-liked by everybody in the house than even people like Tyler, I feel like. No one's looking at Enzo as someone who's shady. He really has a way of just connecting with people. And I think, he's fun to imitate, too, with Aaron on the live feed.
Sorry, I think Big Brother 12 was a cast of characters. I mean, you had Brittany, Andrew, Monet, Annie, Rachel, Reagan, even Matt, like they were
Andrew.
I said Andrew. Yeah, they were a bunch of big characters, a lot of entertainment in that house. And Enzo was just kind of one of them. This is a house of gamers. This is a house of chill people who are not huge personalities for the most part. And Enzo stands out a lot more in that way, where like Enzo is such a relief for these people that like I feel it too when I watch Enzo, when I watch the feeds and there's a conversation happening. It's just a generic conversation. Nothing interesting has happened. And then Enzo walks in. I'm like, okay, here we go. This is going to be more fun. And I have to imagine that's part of what they're feeling as well. Like, he provides that entertainment factor as this big character, as one of the few big characters in that house, that I think there's a difference there in terms of how he fits in.
Yeah. Do you think that there is a possibility that he could get to the end of the game and end up like in the same spot where people are like, I don't want to take you to the end because you're so well liked and you would totally get all the votes? Like, I feel like Hayden evicted him in part because like he didn't think that Enzo did as much. So he wanted to bring Lane to the end. But like, I do feel like he might still end up in the same spot for like almost a different reason.
It's totally possible. But I think the thing that could help him is that the people that he is surrounded with all are probably looking more dangerous than him. But that also means that I think, again, he'll have trouble winning in the end. And especially with an all-star cast and with a cast that appreciates gameplay, they might like him more, but they might not respect his game as much. But that's so it's again, so far off that I don't want to deduct too many points in terms of like if I thought Enzo was like a serious jury threat, I'd give him a 9 right now. I think his positioning and the like where he is right now in the structure of the house and how he is
so
playing
good.
Again, and one of the only people this week with all the chaos to keep his cool and to not make any mistakes, like that's super valuable in a house where everyone is screwing up and running around with their heads cut off.
I want to talk about that really quickly because that's the thing that made me increase my score, Melissa, when you said that, you know, he hasn't really done anything to warrant, you know, being moved up. From my point of view, and I take your point on that, but from my point of view, the fact that he somehow kept his nose clean through all the shit that happened over the past, you know, 7 days is pretty amazing to me. So that's why I was really impressed. And I agree, Taryn. Enzo is somebody who I'm not inclined to like. Like, he's not typically the person that I gravitate to. But when he does come on the feeds, like, I don't respond to Enzo the way I respond when, like, Tyler comes on or Cody comes on or Danny comes on. Like, when Enzo's on there, I find myself rooting for him. And I enjoy that very much.
Yes, the audience also went up a little bit on Enzo, not quite as high as Brent, but they gave Enzo a 7, and it was a 7 right on the dot. 7.00. This doesn't happen very often. Let's move on to Ian. Let's talk about Ian, and we'll give the audience score for this one first. The audience feels like Ian last week was a 5, and this week is a 6. And
I agree with the audience.
I think this is a fair read. I think that I think his position is better this week than it was last week. However, I also don't feel great about his long-term strategy, and we talked about that earlier. I think that, like, one, Memphis can't win HOH and target him next week. That's a positive. Two, his position has improved because of all the chaos and the fact that Day and Bay have lost their spots in this group. That's great for Ian. Negatives, though, he seems to be willing to, like, settle for being a parachute ally. He literally said as much to Nicole Franzel. He was like, last night he said, don't brigade me. Today he said, well, the thing about the brigade is that Lane did take Brittany as far as he could, so I guess I'm okay with it. And she was like, no, it's not, I don't even like that. And he was like, it's fine.
I missed that. Wow, he really said that?
Yeah.
That's bad.
So, because again, I think that he just feels like, okay, well, the brigade did bring all of their people almost to the jury, at least like have a halfway mark. And if I'm the Brittany, then I get to the final four, like I can win out from there. And that's what I'm worried about. The physical competitions. So I gave him a 5, improved from last week for sure. But not like, not crazy high.
I'm gonna draw my score down to a 5. Sorry, guys. I really I don't like that at all. I was not aware that he said that. Because I was about to fight with you and say that I know that he said that to Franzel last night, that he, you know, hey, make sure that you don't brigade me. I'm like, okay, he's wise to it. He knows what he's doing here. He knows what's happening. Even though he said that to her, that's his way of letting her know that he's up, that he knows what's going on. But if he actually said that he's okay with that, I don't feel good about that at all. And I definitely miss that. So,
I think he's way too willing to trust Nicole. And I get that, like, she's an ally of yours. But, like, if I'm Ian and I know that Nicole is making other alliances and not telling me about them and not including me, like, I would not feel good about it. And I wouldn't put all my eggs in the Nicole basket. And it does seem like he is putting all his eggs in the Nicole basket. So, I do feel better about him this week because I do feel like last week it was like his name was on everybody's lips and now it's not really. So I am going to give him a 5, but no more than that right now.
All right. There you go. Ian going to land there at a 5 overall. Let's talk about Janelle. Let's talk about Janelle. Melissa, let's start with you.
This one's a hard one. I love Janelle so much, and I do think that she's doing what she can, but I just feel like nobody cares. They all, I mean, they care too much. They just want to get her out. And that's like, everyone's got their blinders on facing towards Janelle, and they just want her and Kaser out. And she's a number one target, and it's not great. I don't know if it's looking so great. I feel like anytime she tries to get allies, they just go and rat her out to everybody else. And it's scary. I'm worried about her. It does seem like there are some people who are like, it's not worth it to go after Janelle and Kaser next week. Like, there's bigger fish to fry, but like, who knows if that's actually true.
While you're on that, let's count the people who would not probably go after Janelle and Kaser. So Bailey, probably. Davon.
I don't think Ian would.
Ian is saying that he's going to nominate Janelle and Kaser.
Would like just now?
Today he's been saying he's targeting them.
I missed a couple things today then, obviously.
So. To Franzel, I think.
Wow. We can't even
Ian's a dummy.
Him.
I'm changing my Ian rating. He gets a zero.
Ian is like very disappointed. Maybe Ian's like just really playing all this up, but like, I don't know. It's hard to just because I like Ian, I want him to be playing it up. Ian's been like, oh, I can't, Janie, like, why are you doing all of this? Like, I thought we were like friends. Like, I don't know why, because like they've played it up like Janelle and Kaser had this like ploy to trick Ian into betraying Nicole. And the story is going around that it's coming from Nicole Anthony that Janelle went to Nicole Anthony and said, oh, we've got this like story with it. We got this thing we're telling Ian that we're going to use to convince him to turn against Nicole, Nicole Franzel. Oh man, it's so funny. Oh, I gotta let Kaser tell it. He's better at telling. It's funnier when Kaser says it. And so Nicole Anthony is running that around, and Ian heard about it, and everybody's like, how dare they do that to poor Ian, that they're like laughing about trying to trick him into betraying his friend. And Ian isn't very happy about it either.
It's like, and it's not even that, it's like, they're just wrong. Like, they're not, it's not a ploy. They're not trying to trick him. Like, it's legit. What they're saying is true. Nicole is not looking out for Ian's best interest. She's using Ian as a parachute. If anybody's using anybody, it's Nicole using Ian. Number one, so that way, like, she's connected to another winner. And so it's like, okay, well, it's a winner's thing, not just like I'm a winner and I'm Nicole and I'm doing XYZ. It's like it puts Ian, if they ever end up on the block together, it's like, okay, well, you can't use the winner's thing against me. And she's not looking out for his best interest. It's frustrating to see, like, and it reminds me of Nicole A, where it's like, she's also now being tricked into thinking that Janelle and Kaser are doing some nefarious thing when they're not.
Yeah.
It's very hard to see,
I was going to say, Dream Factory 86 in the chat says that Ian never has any idea of what's going on. And that's probably pretty accurate. Like,
so I will say the thing about Ian in terms of what he would do as HOH, he has also indicated that he has a plan that he wants to pull in Kaser once Janelle leaves.
Yeah,
that his idea is that if Janelle and Kaser go up on the block, Janelle will probably go home and then he can pull in Kaser. So if he did win HOH, again, he's saying he's targeting Janelle. He might put, I don't know, maybe like Memphis on the block next to her in the attempt to get Janelle out and maybe save Kaser. Or he might just put up Kaser and be like, sorry, bro, Janelle's coming after me or whatever.
But I feel like that's a bad move.
He might also not want to win the HOH so that he doesn't have to do it.
Like, yeah, I don't think he's going to put up Janie.
Yeah.
If he wants to work with Kaser, then putting up Kaser's ally or Kaser himself is not going to make Kaser want to come to his side. I think the way that would work out is if somebody else puts them on and then Janelle happens to go home and then Ian can step in and be like, look, like that sucked. Like, here, come to me. Otherwise, it's like, okay, well, yeah, sure. I'm not going to work with you. You literally just kicked out my ally. Like, what do you think?
Yeah. If Ian, I think, looks around him and sees, you know, Cody, Franzel, Danny, like those, Tyler, like any of those people still in the competition, and like none of the, not like Janelle and Case or whoever not in the competition, I think Ian will probably just be like, yeah, go ahead and do that for me. So
yeah, I agree.
All right. Yeah, so sorry. Yes. So Janelle, yeah, people that wouldn't put her up, I think herself, Kacer,
and Bay.
Probably Bailey and maybe Davon.
Maybe Davon. Yeah. Well,
great.
I gave Janie a 3, just FYI. Like,
me too.
I don't think she's playing very well. I don't, but in fairness to her, I think a lot of people are not letting her play well.
Right. Like, they're not letting her. They're not even giving her a chance. Like,
but her position's terrible, Melissa. It really is. Like, there's no one who's working.
Her position's bad. But that's like, it's not her fault. They're literally not even opening the door. They're just slamming it in her face. And it makes me so angry that, like, how dumb do you guys have to be to literally week one and week two go against, and not only go against, but like completely bash and trash talk like America's like number one female Big Brother player. Like, it is it boggles the mind, truly, because if I was in that house, there's absolutely no way that I would go against Janelle in terms of like in the first couple weeks, and also bashing her and talking so much crap about her behind her back. Like, there is absolutely zero way that happens, because I know what's waiting for me on the outside if I do that. Like, I don't understand what the logic is behind this. Like, you obviously don't want to pull Paul and defer to everything that she says and just like, yes, master, and just like help her, like carry her on a bed of roses to the end. You don't want to do that, obviously. But you work with them at first. Like, don't you want any, like, especially these people who are going in being like, I'm going to change the reputation, I'm changing my stripes, like Nicole or whoever, like, I want to earn it.
None
and then they're
them.
Sitting there and going against the fan favorite. Like, you know what you're doing. Like, you are going to get trashed on Twitter. Like, do you see what this is going on? These people are crazy to me. They're crazy to me.
I think a lot of these people are overestimating their own popularity, if I'm being honest, insofar as what you're talking about, Melissa. I think a lot of these people were fan favorites in their own right on their own season, but they had no clue the legend of Kacer and Janelle.
And do they also have literally no idea how Kacer and Janelle play? Like, it's as if they have not seen a single season before. They're like, these guys are so deceptive. They're going behind our backs. They're doing X, Y, Z. It's like, no, like, they're like the most loyal people ever. If you can just get in with them, they will stick with you. They will like protect you. They will be your ally. They will be your advocate. Like, what are you doing? Like, how are you thinking you're prescribing these things to them that they have literally never done in a single season? And collectively, they've played 5 seasons together. Like, it's
in a house with Memphis, Kevin, Tyler, Cody, Franzel, like all of these people who played super shady games their first time, even Enzo, like Danny to some degree, like people who were sketchy when they played before, versus Janelle and Kacer, who are like the most shining example of an alliance that's just an alliance, and every season they're in turns into like a team versus team thing because they're just on a team. Like, the idea that they are behind all of these rumors and like shady business, and innocent Cody and Franzel and Tyler and you know, all of these
people.
They're
all buying it. I can't wait. Actually, that's not even true. That's not fair, because like I was gonna say, I can't wait for people like Davon to get out of the house and see what the truth is. I can't wait for Nicole Anthony to get out of the house and see what the truth is. But the God's honest truth is, I'm rooting for all these people, and they're just screwing up their chance. Mm-hmm. They're letting all these people who, like, literally none of us can stand for the most part, walk to the end at this point. That's what's happening.
Yeah. So, Janelle, sorry, Melissa, you haven't given your rating yet?
I guess I'll give her a 4.
A 4 from Melissa.
Because I don't think she's playing poorly. I just think she's not given a chance. And I think that, like, I do see a way for her moving forward. Like, if she can convince Bay and Day to, like, stick with them, like, I can see a situation where they don't do terribly. There are some situations where people decide not to target them this upcoming week. I mean, like, I could see a situation where people are like, look, let's keep some other larger targets in the house. Like, let's not just like get them out right away, because then who's the big target? Me. Like, I think that there's a situation where even if they do not win HOH this week, I could see them being okay.
I really don't think so.
Yeah, I think she's the most likely boot next week by a mile. And I also would push back that she's not playing poorly. I do think she is playing poorly.
A few areas, yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, she drew not the greatest hand the first week, for sure. But she wasn't Cody's target. It was Kacer, and that was bad for her. That put her in a weird spot, but she played very badly from that spot. From that point. And, you know, I mean, for as much as we give crap to Nicole Anthony and Kevin for like completely reading this situation wrong, Janelle is also reading Nicole Anthony wrong. And Nicole Anthony is not trying hard to pretend she's with Janelle. But Janelle is giving everything to Nicole. Nicole is giving nothing back. Janelle asked Nicole, like, who told you you don't have the votes? And Nicole was like, I don't want to say. She's like, what do you mean? You don't even want to say? Why? Like, why not? I'm telling you everything. Like, why not say? She's like, it doesn't matter anymore. I just want to tell you. And she's like, he's not seeing it. And like the body language is like you can tell in a conversation between Janelle and Nicole. And Nicole is like huddled up. Like she's like, she hates it. And Janelle just doesn't see it at all. And that's some really bad reads right there.
And there was the thing with continually vetoing Ian's involvement over Christmas and thinking Christmas is the trustworthy person.
And everything she says is leaking around the house via Nicole, via Christmas, via all these people that are just playing her. And she doesn't even realize that all of her stuff is all over the place. Every time she says something, like she's got like five leaks and she's playing not even great with the leaks. She needs to plug the leaks and then start playing a little better. And then maybe she's got a shot. Having some power would definitely help. But I got to say, even if Janelle wins HOH next week, I don't know if I have enough faith in her that I don't think she'd just go right out the door the next week right now, based on how she's been playing so far.
That thing on Twitter where people go, you know, like, Melissa breathed and then the house like went crazy. Like that's literally what it's like with Janelle. Like Janelle breathes and like immediately it's all over the freaking house that she breathed.
It's just crazy. It's crazy to me. Like they're so obsessed with her. It's like that other one. It's like, why are you so obsessed with me? Like they're literally obsessed with her.
Yeah.
Yes. So the audience gave Janelle a 5. They felt even better than Melissa about Janelle.
God bless you all.
So that means Janelle is going to land there at a 4, I believe.
Yep.
And so let's move on to Kacer. And everything I just said about Janelle, I think, applies to Kacer for the most part. I think he has a couple more outs than she does. I think he's less likely to go home next week. And if Janelle goes home, I think Kacer can breathe. I think Kacer's got some space to do something, but not a lot of space. And I also don't think it's a given that Janelle goes home over Kacer. Just today, Memphis and Cody were talking about how everyone's going to want Kacer gone Janelle gone next week, but they both are planning on pushing hard to make sure it's Kacer because they would like for Kacer to leave and not Janelle. And so I also gave Kacer a 3. I feel like it's not great.
I mean, I gave him a 2 last week, and I did increase it to a 3, mainly because I'm pretty convinced.
He survived another week.
Yeah, and I'm pretty convinced that that Janie would go home over Kacer. Like, I just feel like there's so much angst in the house via Janelle that no matter how hard Cody and Memphis push that they want it to be Kacer, I really don't see it being that way.
I think it'll be Tyler. And via Tyler, you know, David, Franzel and Ian. You know, then you start to look at like, what do Bailey and Dave on do? They probably side with Janelle. So maybe David does side with Janelle. I don't know. I guess it's a little bit up in the air, but you have Danny going after Janelle. So it could be a close vote. If Cody and Memphis, you know, get their hooks into things, but Christmas goes with Tyler, if I didn't say that already. So, I do think Janelle is more likely to leave though.
Yeah. I'm going to give Kacer a 4 as well, unfortunately. And let me just say, like, I love Kacer so much. Like watching him is so amazing. And when he gives those like inspiring speeches, like to his potential allies or his potential new alliance, where he's like, I am here to play, like I'm here to go for it. I'm going to like swing for the fences. I'm going to get these people. Like I get so inspired and I just love it so much. And it makes me so pumped up. And then just to see all these people just like immediately leave and like just spill the beans on this whole thing. It just like, it rips my heart out. It makes me so sad and depressed. And I want this Janelle, Kacer, Devon, and Bailey thing to be a real thing, because can you imagine that as a Final Four? Like I just like can't even. It would be so amazing and I would love it so much. So I feel sad to give Kacer a four, because I think that a lot of this, and same with Janelle, is like they're not even giving a chance. They're not even being given a chance to play well or to play to their true potential. And they're just kind of like being shut out of everything, which is unfortunate. But, yeah.
I mean, I will again push back a little bit that like this is the game that Janelle and Kacer play every time. Like they have had three shots now. And every time it plays out this way, I think we can't blame the circumstances. I think that this is kind of just the game they play.
But I think that's the reason. I think that the reason is because watching them on their first season, they're not given the option to play it any other way. I think that people see them number one as a pair. Like, what are they going to do? Be like, oh no, we're not working together. Like, no, like no one believe that. And then, you know, they're never given the chance to like work with people or become something else. They're always just like pushed into a corner and forced to like fight their way out of it and like play scrappy and play hard, like right from the get go. They're never given the opportunity to just sit and wait. I mean, do you think there's any situation where they come in this season and they just like kind of sit back and chill and no one notices them? Like, I mean, come on, it's Janelle and Kacer.
I mean, look, I was trying to give Kacer some leeway at the start of the season to say, look, he went out in his first season because of circumstances. He came back into the second season with the reputation. He was the rock star. He never really had a chance to play his own game there. But like, this is the third time. And I feel like at some point you have to say there's one common denominator here. And there were other players who were obvious pairs. There are other players in this house with huge targets on their back, and they did manage to incorporate themselves into the house. And that has not happened with Janelle and Kacer. And I can't say that it's completely not in their hands.
I must be like not remembering this, but maybe I'm just totally blanking on it. But like, who else has come into the house as such an obvious pair who's played before together as a pair?
I mean, this season? Well, I will tell you that Devon came into the house telling people that Bailey was her number one.
Yeah, but I mean, so like from a previous pair. Season, like I just feel like Janelle and Kacer, like they've played together as a pair their first season and their second season. And so coming into this season, doing anything else but play as a pair, like they're going to be seen together. They're going to be seen as a pair. They're not going to be able to like pass it off as like, yeah, we haven't talked in a long time, so I'm not really going to play with Janelle or whatever. Like, there's no way that's going to be bought by anybody. Like, I just feel like they're pushed into this position. They're seen as a pair. They're seen as a strong pair, a strong duo, a tight duo. And then I think that that influences the way they have to play.
The chat is screaming at me right now. Chilltown was definitely a big pair that came into a game.
Season. Sorry, I meant this season.
Sure.
I'm literally talking about this season. Obviously, Chilltown came in the first season. Duh. I'm saying this season right now, do we have any other pairs in the house that is a duo from a previous season playing together? No.
Okay.
Like if Tyler and Kacer,
you are correct. No. You, in your very specific example, you are completely correct.
No, I'm just saying, like for this season, like if Tyler and Kacer were there together or whatever, like obviously, like they're going to be seen as a pair, and people are going to be like, we got to get them out. And if they were able to come in and be like, we're just like part of the group, and no one like picked them out, then I'd be able to compare them and say like, okay, clearly Janelle and Kacer are playing it wrong and Tyler and Kacer are playing it right. But like, we don't have any way to compare it.
But what we saw in week one, in the first night of feeds, is that Cody did not plan on nominating Kacer and Janelle together. They weren't linked up that much. He was planning on nominating Keisha and Kacer. And it wasn't until Kacer saved Janelle that everybody started saying, okay, clearly they are working together just as much as they used to be. They had planned on trying to separated a little because they haven't talked to each other in 15 years. A lot of people assumed that Franzel and Cody would work together. They still do. And like, that's a big target. I hear what you're saying, and I agree. I think they drew a bad hand, but I don't think that we can just completely say, it's not their fault at all. They, you know, they never had a chance. I don't think that's true.
I mean,
Brent, break the tie.
I gave my scores. I think they both played badly, and some things cut against them. But I do think that there are some things that they could both do better than what they are doing right now. Janie does not pick up well on other people's body language. Yeah. She seems oblivious to that. Kacer also, even though I said I was using him as the example in my comparison against David, like I said, even Kacer, who can be intense at times, you know, has the ability to empathize and connect with people, but sometimes he falls flat even in that area. Like, he's not somebody who people just normally gravitate to for some reason, even though I would.
Yeah, same.
The people in the Big Brother house over his three seasons don't really care for him. So, like, Cody is really not into him. He just really feels like he got a bad feel from the guy, but he's right to feel that way because Kacer wants to get rid of Cody and put him up on the block.
Yes. And like, somehow this is turned into like the chat saying that I'm delusional for not thinking that Kacer and Janelle are an obvious pair. That's not what I said.
Karen, you don't think they're a pair?
They're obviously a pair, and they were the most obvious pair. That is not up for debate. I just don't think that that automatically means that their game wasn't in their hands and that they never had a chance. I just don't think that's true. And I think they could have played better. That's all I'm saying.
I also think part of it has to do with the fact that like Janelle is Janelle, and they didn't bring in a Derek, they didn't bring in a Dan, they didn't bring in a like a Rachel or a Brittany, they didn't bring in like another big name. Janelle is the big name that
it's
they
literally
got.
Janelle with 15 supporting people,
right? It literally is. Like, I mean, if anything, maybe Tyler, maybe that would be the other like big name, I think, at this point. But like everybody else, like there aren't any other big names in there. Like there are, like Brent said, supporting characters. Like you've got Enzo. Like everyone's like, yes, Enzo's back. But it's like, was Enzo the star of that season? No, nope. Like not at all. So I think that that's part of it, is like you have a legend there. And so everyone else is like going to be if we only brought Dan in, like I'm sure everyone would be targeting Dan. Like it's just, there's no way. There wasn't anyone that Janelle could be held up against.
I agree. But like we did just see Survivor Winners at War. Tony came in as a legend with an obvious pair in Sarah, who just dominated a returning season, and Tony won. You know, like it's not like it's an impossible situation. And I do think that, you know, we can still look at the game and say that there are things that people could have done better and still also acknowledge that they had a bad hand coming in. I do think that's true.
They definitely had a bad hand coming in. Also, the fact that Janelle continues to hold to this, I'm not going to nominate Danny because we had some outside agreement, when she has to be able to tell that Danny is not being truthful to her. Danny is not on her side. Like that, how, like, you know that Danny was lying to you when she came to you and offered that fake alliance just to cover her own ass. Like you saw through it immediately. Why do you feel any loyalty to Danny?
Yeah. All right. Well, the audience gave Kacer a 5. So the audience likes what Kacer is doing.
Apparently, there was somebody in the chat that was like, if the audience gives Kacer a 5, I'm so going to laugh. And I'm like, there it is. So
there you go.
Yeah.
So let's talk about who's up next here. Kevin.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Kevin.
Yikes.
I mean, look. I'll start. Like I gave him a 4 last week. I gave him a 5 this week. It's not a, like, it to me, it's like a 4.7, but like, I'm going to, like, you know, it's closer to 5. So I'm going to give him the 5. Like, it's not a big increase to me, but he's not on the block. Number one, I don't see anyone coming for him. As Tara noted earlier in the podcast, he's going to be there for a while. So given that, I feel like I have to increase his score a little bit. Like, he's playing better. I know that he's irritating the living F out of me by continually trash talking Janelle, but at least he has reason to trash talk Janelle when Janelle called him a flat out liar and a schemer from his original season and tried to end his dream from the moment he stepped in the house. Like, from Kevin's point of view, like Janelle was the bad guy who was trying to get rid of poor little Kevin. Like, look at Janelle. What a legend. Who's been asked back four times. Who's been on the show four times. Somebody like Kevin Campbell barely made it onto the season. And she was trying to get rid of him the first week. How dare she? Like, that's how he's looking at it. So, like, I know people are coming for Kevin, but I don't come for Kevin as much as I come for Nicole Anthony. So, Kevin gets a 5 for me.
I was feeling a little bit worse on Kevin. I mean, he's not on the block. Last week, I gave him a 4 when he was on the block. This week, he's not on the block. And I do think that Kevin will be here for a while. I think unless he gets unlucky, which is very possible, the civil war within the bigger group, whether it's a civil war or it's a culling, you know, like will happen eventually. Like they will start to pick each other off first before they deal with Kevin. Cause who does Kevin have and what kind of threat is Kevin? I think that he's in that spot and there aren't many other people in the game that are in that spot that are just kind of like floating out there. And so I think he'll be around for a while. I think he'll have a chance to improve his standing, but I think he is still this kind of pawn situation, and he will need to do a lot to like really improve his standing in the game and potentially win. So for me, it's still a 4 on Kevin. His reads have been terrible. The gameplay that we've seen from him has been terrible, but I think he's going to be here for a while and he'll have a lot of chance to turn it around. And he's not on the block this week, so it's got to be a little bit. It can't go too far down from where he was before. Melissa, what are your thoughts?
I gave him a 3 last week and he was on the block. I want to give him lower because I do think he's playing much worse. But I'm just going to stick with my 3 just because he's not on the block. And like you guys said, he's probably going to stick around for a while. The only thing is, I do not see him winning this game if he still plays the same way he's playing right now, which is like not playing. If anything, he's hurting himself. Like every time he opens up his mouth, like he's got the complete wrong read of the house. Like he's not trying to make inroads with anyone that he needs to be making inroads with. And like, I don't see a good situation for him if he just decides to like be a number to be used by the large alliance and then just get like discarded as they go. And even if he doesn't get discarded, like even if he miraculously makes it to the final 2, like he's not going to win. Like there's no possible way unless like the other person who's sitting up there on the block with him is or up there like in the final 2 with him is like, Rangel? I don't know, like pisses everybody off and just insults everyone the whole time. Like that's literally the only way because he's not doing anything. He's not playing. Nobody's respecting his game. Nobody thinks of him as like an important player. Like I'm very disappointed in him because I really do. I do like him as a person and I do like him as I really was very excited to see him come in and play. And I really thought he was going to like go for it and go for it hard, but it just seems like he's not recognizing his bad position. Like he's not recognizing that like, okay, now that I'm on the outside, totally on the outside and nobody seems to want to work with me. Like I need to find a way to work with these outside people. Like why go? I get that you're upset with Janelle and I get that. And it makes sense. But like, what else are you going to do? Like go and work with these people who don't have anyone else. Like tell them like, look, everything else aside, I don't have anyone and you guys are in a tough position. So like, let's turn this around for us. Like, otherwise you're just going to be picked off. It's just bad.
I feel like Taryn is correct in that he didn't play this way on Big Brother 11 either. Like he just kind of, you know, floated a little bit and didn't make any definite moves one way or the other.
But didn't he have a better read?
No,
the game was very open.
Yeah, it was very open.
He didn't need to make any reads.
He's somehow convinced that like if he throws in his lot with Cody and Tyler, like he can be there when like the civil war breaks out between whatever big glob of people is together and no one will worry about him and he may be able to get to the end. Obviously, it's a different game than what was happening on Big Brother 11 in modern day Big Brother. And I think that that's the wrong read. However, I saw people in the chat were like complaining that I say position is important. Like I do think that Kevin could see the block, but I do not think he would be evicted. I think we're going to see him for a while. He might be used as a pawn by somebody, but like as far as anyone coming for Kevin, please show me the person on the board who would want to get rid of Kevin Campbell. Like that would make it their life's mission to get rid of Kevin Campbell.
It's like really you said, he's it. Like it's like one of those you're in a waste of an HOH position where it's like, really, nobody's going to want to do it. Cause it's like, I mean, the only way is if somebody who's in between alliances doesn't want to like show their cards and doesn't want to like pick a side. So they just like put up some middle people and get out Kevin, cause they use it as like a, we want to get out floaters type of thing. Right. I mean, that's the only situation I could see. But other than that, it's like, there's no way I'd want to waste my HOH on that. I'd want to get out like a big target.
Well, as always, Melissa, you are the voice of the audience. The audience agrees with Melissa on this one. They gave Kevin a 3 out of 10.
Makes sense.
There you go.
As usual. Just kidding. I say as usual, even though I'm not like voting with the audience, like most of this.
I mean, you're closest. I think you're closest to the audience this week. And I think that Christina has run the stats and you are usually closest to the audience. You really, truly the voice of the people. All right. Let's talk about Memphis.
Okay.
Memphis. I gave him a 5 last week.
Yes.
He won HOH. He acted like a douche. Like a little old meanie. And I was like, all right, time to drop Memphis. And then things started to work out for him. And I was like, wait, what? What's going on? Why is this working? What? Hold on. Why is nobody talking about Memphis anymore? Why is everyone focusing on each other? How is that? How is Memphis all of a sudden in a position where Kacer and Janelle remain the big targets? He's not getting any heat for not targeting them anymore. Nobody's coming after Memphis. And all of a sudden, it's like, what happened? What happened is that his old school style of play, which is like just self-interested, not having to work for an alliance, he's forcing them to deal with the situation he left for them. And no, they're not happy about it, but also no, they can't do anything about it. And there's something a little bit interesting there. Now, I do think that we saw that his social game leaves a lot to be desired. I talked about it earlier this week that it's as though Dan's programming of Memphis at the end of Big Brother 10 to make him suck at jury management has just stayed there, and he now still has it, because he wasn't this way. He was not this bad at the start of Big Brother 10. I remember, but he was this bad at the end of Big Brother 10, because Dan was like, oh yeah, do this. This is gonna be great. This is gonna be great, right? TV. This is gonna be so good. And like, I really feel like Memphis idolizes Dan, and I think he wants to be Dan, and he's trying to do it, but he does not have the Dan-ness in him, the personal side of it, the charisma that Dan does to pull it off, and so it's very bad. And I think that I don't know how you can win a jury over like
that. That's the thing. Yeah, like, can he ever win a jury vote? I don't know.
That's the thing. But he is, I think, doing well with his positioning, and I think his connection to Cody is valuable, and I think that he has placed himself in a position where, again, daily screwing up and sort of like pushing themselves to the bottom of the hierarchy only serves to improve his own positioning. And he also proved that he's good at these competitions. I mean, he got all those questions right in this, you know, question. It was a short-term memory question comp. He also won a very physical veto competition, and that matters because physical competitions are very prevalent nowadays. So I think there are a lot of things that could work out in his favor. Last week, I gave him a 5. This week, I'm feeling a 6. I'm actually going to go up on Memphis's game this week. Not a lot, because I still think there's a lot to be desired, but I'm feeling a 6.
Yeah, I gave him a 6 last week. I'm not willing to go a 7 because, as I said, I don't know if he could win a jury vote. But on the other hand, maybe he could against somebody like Franzel. I think in my eyes, Franzel is the final 2 goat that everyone's going to try to take to the end. I think he could actually win against her, but maybe there's a few other people that he could go against. Just as far as positioning in the house, I feel like it has actually markedly improved slightly. But I also think that some of the stuff that has happened is through like no fault of his own and no desire of his own. Like some of the stuff that has happened that improved him, like the mistakes of Devon and Bailey, he didn't cause any of that. He's just benefiting from it. So overall, his rating should be a 6 because I feel like he's played well-ish. And also the thing that really makes me chuckle is the fact that he's doing things that are self-interested in the Big Brother house. But then you have people like Franzel and Tyler and Danny who are all going to the diary room complaining that he's making them play the safety competition. They're not gonna, because why would they do that for him? Like, they want to take care of themselves. They have to recognize that they're doing the exact same thing that he is. Like, they're not playing for the team. They're playing for themselves. So in a weird way, I feel like they all sort of got that. Now, Danny did get into a little bit of a tiff with Memphis over possibly putting up Janelle, but that sort of went away. Like, I don't really think that that's come back, even when he won the veto. Like, he had complete power to do everything, and she didn't push, in my eyes, all that hard to try to get Janelle and Kacer out, wisely so, because that was like drawing dead. Like, that was never going to happen. And I think she just decided to cut her losses and complain about it to people. But overall, I feel like you have to give him a six. He's played okay, and he's made himself into somebody who other people know that they can count on. So the only person who is coming after him, obviously, is David. But, you know, show me a comp win from David, and
David's putting up Memphis and Janelle, right? Like, where Janelle goes home, right? Like, yeah, totally. I don't see any scenario where Memphis actually goes home.
Yeah, and if Janie wins the veto, he's going to put up Kacer, and then Kacer goes home. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh. For Memphis, this is tricky just because I do feel like, surprisingly, he's coming out of this week kind of unscathed. The only thing is that I just think that it doesn't seem like the alliance that he thought was real and that he formed and all that is actually a thing. And it seems like all of his alliance members are trying to form new alliances, but not include him. And it does seem like in all these new variations of alliances, like, he's never included. And I think that that's something to consider, because I think that, you know, moving forward, if maybe he will be forgotten about a little bit, but no one's going to be protecting him, he would be an easy person to be like, yeah, let's just get Memphis out. And he seems to be the type to upset people. Like, so I could see him doing something or saying something that pisses people off. And then they're like, okay, well, let's just get rid of him. Like, he's not with us anyway. So I think it's already a good thing to not really change your position or to not go down in your position during your HOH week. I saw Christina posted today or on Twitter about how they've gone up or down in the stock watch based on their HOH. Like, when someone's HOH, do they go down? When someone's HOH, do they go up? And it does seem like a lot of people go down during their first HOH. And I'm going to give him a five and not have him go down. But I am worried about his position in the coming weeks, just because I don't feel like he did himself any favors with this week.
Yeah, and I heard a few people talking about replacing Memphis with Enzo. Like, that's never a good spot to be when people, like, you're in an alliance with people and they're openly talking about, well, we can get rid of him. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't just him, like Danny, Christmas, Franzel, like none of the women really seem to like Memphis. Mm-hmm. So, but on the other hand, Cody does have his back. I think Tyler'd like to keep him around, although he was irritated that he got rid of David. So I don't know about that. Like, yeah,
I mean, he's playing a very different game. Like, he isn't playing the I'm going to get in a big alliance game. He is, you know, I think he's being genuine to some degree when he says big alliances are dumb. I'm not going to do them in the first half of the game. Like, he's relying on this kind of like, I'm just going to position myself in a way where I survive long enough to instead of like comp his way out, even though I think he's more capable than Ian, to like, okay, now I'm going to like link up with Cody and link up with a couple of other people and really start to do what Dan and I did in the second half of season 10. Like, he's playing that different game. I don't think it will work. I think it's an inferior game to the more boring everyone get an alliance, you know, stomp toward the end. But I think it's interesting and I think it could work. So I'm intrigued to see how it plays out.
Right. I have to say really quickly about Memphis, the part that made me chuckle the most about him was when he was talking with, I think, Cody with their commission meeting, and they were talking about the committee and they were talking about the people in the committee. And he was openly talking about like replacing the people in the committee because he didn't trust some of them or wanted to get rid of some of them. I had a flashback to Alexis Colby Carrington on Dynasty when she took over Denver Carrington. And she said that, like, I'm going to sell this company, or I'm going to do the merger with this company. And if you all do not go along, I'm just going to replace all of you. with a board that will go along. And that's exactly how Memphis comes off to me, because he's such a douche about it. And he's just like thinking he can openly just replace the people in his alliance with new people in his alliance because he doesn't trust them. But he forgets that, number one, Cody has a say in that. Number two, getting rid of those people is going to be harder than he thinks.
All right. The audience.
Aaron, did you get that alliance? Did you get that metaphor? That's 1985, 1986. Were you weren't born yet, right?
I was completely with you the whole time. That's a hilarious and insightful metaphor.
Thank you. Yes.
The thing about what you're saying is that it was actually a really good thing.
All right, David.
So the audience, not happy with Memphis. The audience gave Memphis a 4.
Oh my gosh. You guys are terrible. Terrible. Like, you're just voting them based on popularity. You give Janie 5s and Kaser 5s and Memphis 4s. Are you guys on crack?
That's
what are you
a
doing?
Little, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Nicole Anthony.
Oh, wait, Melissa. I have to reach for something. Hold on.
Melissa, let's start with you.
I feel bad. I like Nicole so much as a person, but she's just not doing well. And she's got Kevin just like twittering in her ear, like basically giving her the complete wrong view of the house and making her basically brainwashed against Janelle and Kaser, who are literally the only people who are trying to help her stay. And even then she's like, yeah, well, even if they are trying to get me to stay, and even if they give me their votes and they get votes for me to stay, like, I'm still going to go against them. It's like, what? Why? I get like picking out a target and telling the house, like, I'm going after this person so you don't have to worry about me. I get that. But the fact that she's then still saying that she actually is going to go for them, like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, her whole read on the house is wrong. Her whole thing is wrong. She's probably going home. She's not doing herself any favors. Like, I just feel like, and I feel like even, like I said this earlier, like, even if it's like, okay, well, I'm going against Janelle and Kaser, like, that's my target. Like, so? Like, everyone else in the house is going against them too. Like, it's not some new thing. It's like, yeah, we don't need your number. Thank you. We have everybody else. And we have a whole house full of people, literally minus two, that are going to go after Janelle and Kaser. So, yeah, like, that does us no good. You're not telling me what you can do for my game. Like, I mean, she'd be like literally just like out for the count if David wasn't also equally terrible. Like,
that's,
I just feel
thing.
Like that's like the only thing is like David is actively making it so that people might kick him out when originally he was like good to go. And that's the only reason why Nicole might stay. But it's not because Nicole's doing something great. It's not because David's doing something great. Like, everybody is just doing terrible things. And that's just that. And I don't have any faith that Nicole is going to get her way into the main alliance or get herself in a good position, even if she does stay. So I just feel like it's just, God, I don't know. I feel like I want to give her a 1. But I also feel like she could possibly stay, and I don't feel like she's completely out of it. So I kind of want to give her a 2. So I think I'm just going to give her a 2.
That's okay. I'm going to also give her a 2. Sorry, chat. I know you're begging for the paddle, but it's really not worthy of a 1. Personally, I'm really irritated with her, and I want to give her the 1. Believe me, I would love to hold up the paddle just for cathartic reasons, to give it to you all and make myself feel better. But the God's honest truth is that David is a really terrible player, as I previously noted. And there is a way that she could stay in the house. And ironically, the way she needs to stay in the house is to completely and utterly go against Janelle and Kaser. That's like the only way I feel like she'll move hearts and minds at this point, is to go against Janelle and Kaser. And she was talking with Tyler earlier on in the day about having a house meeting, which Tyler was encouraging, which I do not think is good for him to do. But he was encouraging her to call the house meeting. To do, I don't know what, to do something about Janelle and Kaser. I don't even know what she plans to do in the house meeting. Like, I actually think that the house meeting could work to Janie and Kaser's benefit, because if Nicole openly calls them out as, you know, having something to do with her nomination, then Memphis is going to be right there. And Memphis is going to say they didn't have shit to do with the nomination. I put you on myself. And then she's going to look like an ass. So, you know, I don't know what she plans on doing in this house meeting. But I do not think she's as dead in the water. her position counts, and her position at the moment is that she's against someone who is equally bad or possibly worse at the Big Brother game. I actually do think David is worse at the game. I really do. Than she is, and he may yet find a way to get himself evicted.
I think if she had the right read on the house and wasn't brainwashed by Kevin, I think she could stay this week. Like, I think she has it in her to like pull it together and stay. But I think because she's got just like the just total like nothing is there, she can't pull it together because she doesn't know what to do. And I think that if she did know what to do, or if she did know the dynamics of the house and was able to understand like who's with who, who's what's with what, she would be able to pull it together. Cause I don't think she's a bad player in all circumstances. I think in this situation, she is playing very bad.
All right. The audience agrees that Nicole Anthony is a 2. However, I'm actually not with you guys on this one. In fact, Brent, I am a little bit appalled that that last week you gave Keisha a 1,
yes,
and this week you gave Nicole Anthony a 2, because I was ready to say this is why you don't give Keisha a 1, because you need to save it for this kind of situation where Nicole Anthony is a 1. This is the thing. She has had terrible reads. I'm going to make the call. I think she's going home. I think she can call a house meeting all she wants. Okay. I don't think she's going to stay. I mean, I guess there's a small chance that David might do something really bad to screw himself up, but I don't think she's going to stay. And here's the thing. Even if she does accidentally save herself, even if her bad read makes her stay somehow, then that's more damning, because that means that if she had the right read, she would not have saved herself, right? Like, if she knew that Janelle was working for her, she wouldn't be campaigning against Janelle, because she wouldn't do that to her friend. And that's just another like indication of like the game that she plays, which is like she'd have to accidentally save herself this week if she were to stay.
Well, yeah.
And that's not good. Like, it's really bad. Like, the situation that put her in a position where she thought that Janelle and Kacer were not campaigning for her is so wild, and takes such terrible reads and plays that to say that she might stay because of it and therefore is not a 1, to me doesn't make sense. So it is a 1 for me. And again, I want to remind people that, like, yes, I think that we should be kind to Nicole when she comes out of the house. Aaron, I don't think that we should trash her.
I'm giving her a 1.
But this is what I'm talking about. Like, this is not what I mean. When I say kind, I don't mean like, oh, we need to like lie to her or suspend our judgment or like not accurately represent how we feel about her game and the way that she played it, or hold her accountable for her terrible opinions on people. Like, all of that is fair game, but you can do all of that and be kind at the same time and not gun for her and try to break her down. This is the distinction that I'm trying to make. And I do think that her game this week is a 1. And I also hope that she comes out of the house and she feels okay, and she doesn't feel like she needs to like run away forever, right?
Oh my God, yeah. Please no. I like, it sucks because she's such a nice person and she's such a like a great person. We all love her like as a person. It's just like, it should be, in all the critiques of her, should be purely gameplay related. Like, it should not be about her as a person or trying to like make her feel like bad about herself as a person, or even like attacking her or like, you know, any sort of like bashing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's not, no, but you say, well, yeah, but I know that everybody on Twitter is going to go ahead and bash her. And I don't think that that's what we should be doing. I think that like, it's appropriate and okay to be like, no, like, why'd you do that? Like, you went against Janelle and she was your 1 ally. Like, oh, this sucks. But like, just like ripping her to shreds is not what anyone should be doing. And
Well, I obviously agree with that.
I think that a lot of people on Twitter don't agree with that.
I think
the problem is that like people see it as like this binary thing where either you are super crazy mean or you're like, you're a perfect being, Nicole. There's nothing wrong with you. Like, there's plenty of space in the middle where you can be honest with somebody and respectful at the same time, hold them accountable for their actions while also being kind. I think that there is space to do that. That's my take on it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about Nicole Franzel, who we might be able to start just calling Nicole soon, which I am very happy about.
Yes, please.
Brent, let's start with you.
All right. What did I give her last week?
You gave her a 4 last week.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to give her a 7 this week. I'm done fighting. I'm just done fighting, okay? I really am. I'm just done. Like, she's good
she's
at Big Brother.
She's worn Brent down. That's a big
she's
thing.
She's worn me down. She's really good at Big Brother. It's not in a manner that I like. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. But I have to admit that she somehow, over and over again, just continually plays the game in a way that just ingratiates herself with people. And they simultaneously want to include her, but yet also feel like, oh, she's so pathetic and she's such a wounded bird. Like, we'll just take her in. Like, they're not at all worried about Nicole Franzel. I think the only person who's worried about Nicole Franzel is Janelle. But outside of that, you know, I feel like most people would probably not waste an HOH on her at this point. Ian seems to have her loyalties. He's giving Nicole Franzel his loyalties. She has the potential safety suite as something to save her if Janelle or Kacer win HOH. Even then, they may not target Nicole Franzel. Ian has told them, that, hey, like, don't target Nicole Franzel. That's my ride or die. You guys have your ride or die. I have my ride or die. So, I just think that overall, you cannot look at the situation without clear vision and see that the game field indicates that no one outside of Janelle possibly is going to come for Nicole Franzel next week. And overall, no one's going to come for her at all. They really aren't. She's in it for the long haul again. And it really pisses me off and I can't stand it. But I have to say that, you know, she does a good job of getting into these alliances and making people feel good about her. And no, I didn't buy Nicole Franzel stock, just so you know. I didn't buy any Nicole Franzel stock, but I'm to the point where I'm like, okay, the evidence is so much, I just can't fight it anymore.
Yeah, I agree with Brent. I give her a 7 too. I'm very impressed with her game. She's good.
You gave her a 5 last week. Yeah, she really is.
I know, she's really good. And I think that she has a way of making people think. She's just always like, I'm like, oh no, like, oh, they're so mean to me. I'm always like, you know, the everyone's so cruel and mean, and like, I'm always the victim, and everyone believes it every time. Like, it's as if they literally have not seen her previous seasons. Like, it's right. As if they've never looked at the internet and seen her as called like snake hole and like, you know, rat hole and all that sort of stuff. Like, I mean,
don't they know her reputation?
It's crazy to me that people are still falling for this. And even like, and Ian is like totally, I mean, she has Ian like right there in her grip.
Yeah.
And like, even when people were like earlier, like, I guess, I don't remember the exact context, but like Ian was, it was basically the story of how like they were trying to turn Ian on her, like on Nicole. And then everyone was like, why Nicole would never turn on Ian. Nicole would never do that. What, like, why would they try and like tell, that is so mean. That is so mean. And it's like, what? Like, of course she's going to turn on Ian. Nicole's ruthless. And if only she would admit that. And if only she would play that.
If only she would own that she's ruthless.
If only she would own it. Like, I'm sure that like people would be like loving it. Like,
we would be. Yes.
Oh my God, I would love it. If she would just turn to the camera and give us a little wink and be like, yeah, I'm doing all this. Absolutely. I would Melissa, be like 100% on board.
I just want to prepare you and the audience for the fact that I am like, I would bet money on the fact that once again this season, we're going to see Franzel go into the diary room and she's going to say the words, I vote to evict Devon. I guarantee you that's going to happen at some point and it's going to suck big time. But as far as where they're at on the game board right now, honey, it's coming.
She's in such a good place. Nobody's coming after her besides Janelle, basically, and maybe Kacer, but I think Janelle is like tangentially going against her, but I don't even think that's her next move. I think the next move is Cody.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, maybe if it's a situation that they put Cody and Nicole Safety Franzel suite, on the block
veto,
or something like
yeah.
that, who knows? But like, I honestly, like, she's in such a good place. People want to work with her. I mean, yes, she is being excluded from some alliances, but even then, they're not targeting her. It's not like they're excluding her because they want to target her. Like, I think she's in a really good place. And I got to say it, we might see our first two-time Big Brother winner here. Like, I mean, I just imagine it. It's possible. So, you know.
Not if I have anything to say about it. No one's winning the money again on my watch.
Well, funny you mention Enzo, because I feel like for me, Nicole Franzel is also an 8 from me. I was very impressed with her this week. I think this is the best I've ever seen Franzel play. I think that she's only ever gotten better. The first week I was worried about how emotional she got. She was crying over Janelle, like just breathing. Right. This week she heard that she was an option for a back door and she played it cool. Like, she was chill about it the whole week. And like, that's not what I expected from Franzel. In fact, she did something I really liked, which is that she, every time she talked about it with somebody and or somebody came up to them, she said, oh, you're like the fifth person to tell me this. I'm so happy that you brought it to me. It makes me so happy that people will tell me about these things. Which like implies like, you'd better tell me things because other people tell me things. And if you don't tell me things, then I'm going to know that you didn't tell me things. But I'm also grateful that you told me things.
Yeah, exactly. That second part is the important part. Yeah, but I agree that the first part is important. But like, she wraps it up in a nice bow, even though it's like poison on the inside. Like, she's giving it to you as a present. Like, here, I'm giving this to you. And it looks nice on the outside. See, but you really see that I'm actually doing this for myself. You know?
Yeah. And with Janelle probably being the most likely person to go home next week, Janelle is the only person in the house that is not a fan of Franzel. Like Kacer doesn't like Franzel. Like, he thinks that she's dangerous. But he doesn't have like the personal disdain for Franzel that Janelle has. And then you like maybe Bailey and Devon has a little bit of like a desire to like be skeptical of Franzel, but like nothing to the extent of like Janelle putting Franzel's name out there all the time. And like, those are all the people that are in the hit list. Like, all of those people, they're the people who are least capable of doing anything about it. And if they all go home, Franzel's great with everyone left. She has reeled in Ian and is being protected by Ian. If anyone wants to get in good with Ian, they can't touch her. And he's saying like, basically, I'll go after you. If you take her out, if you take her out thinking you can reel me in, don't think about it because it's not going to happen. And he's willing to just be her parachute and be her protection and be her leverage. And I was very impressed and I think she's in a good spot. And so I'm going to give her an 8. The audience.
Or the audience do.
Still at a 6. They did not feel that her game this week was much of an improvement from last week.
Still, she went up 2 rating points. She was a 5 last week, and she went up to a 7 this week. So that made some people some money. Again, I did not buy any Franzel stock, so get off my back.
all right, let's finally talk about Tyler and Melissa. We'll start with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's playing really well. I think that people really want to work with him, and they don't see... I mean, I'm not hearing his name really as like a next target or anything. I think if anything, Cody will be the one. And even if Tyler's up there with Cody, I think Cody would go over Tyler. I think more people want to work with Tyler. More people like Tyler. I think he's doing a great job. And even like that situation with Danny and Day, like I think he turned it around and really came out on top. So I'm going to give him a 7 as well.
All right, Brent.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm looking at what breed of dog is that, Melissa?
A sheepadoodle.
Yeah, I knew that it was some sort of sheepdog. I just couldn't.
Yeah.
So adorable. But I'm also gonna give Tyler an adorable rating because I gave him a 5 last week, and I'm also going to give him a 7 this week. I would like to give him an 8. He has proven to me that he is a really good Big Brother player once again. I'm sorry I doubted you, Tyler. Like he just has a way where people underestimate him, but yet they count on him. They feel like they can depend on him. He's seen as less sneaky than other people in the house, and yet he is one of the sneakiest players there. Like, did they even watch Big Brother 20? Apparently not. Like, they really must have not seen what he did, the mind fucks he did to some of the people on Big Brother 20, because he is a master at that. But he's totally been underestimated so far. So, my God, like, what else do you want from a guy like this? I know that there's a little bit of consternation because, like, Dani didn't trust him, and she thought she couldn't trust him, and then realized she could trust him, and then she went back. But I think the only person who came out of that feeling really not good was Tyler. Like, Tyler doesn't feel great about Dani. Dani thinks that she made up with Tyler and said, oh, no, I really believe you now. Like, I didn't believe you before, but I believe you now. Like, I got it. Like, so I think she feels like they're all good. Everybody else, like, I wanted to give him an 8, but I do feel like there is a small window for him to go home. If, like, Cody's saved through the safety competition or some veto, and, like, you know, they're not, like, Janelle and Casey are not going to put up Memphis. They're not going to put up Enzo. They're looking for a guy. It's probably going to be Tyler. On the other hand, Tyler does have the safety suite, and there are a couple people who might pick him as a plus one, and he has the veto. That's a lot of ways to be safe if your name is Tyler. I don't see him going home. Like, Grodner would probably hang herself if Tyler went home in week 3. So there's no way that's happening, honey. So it's a 7 for me. He's in it. I think he's in it for the long haul once again.
Yes. There are a couple of things that make me a little bit hesitant to give Tyler a higher rating. I can tell you that Tyler got an 8 from the audience this week, up 2 from before, and the highest rating of the week, followed by Enzo. Tyler and Enzo were the two highest rated by the audience, so by let me a just, large margin.
Let me set the stage. So since the audience gave Tyler an 8, if you give Tyler an 8 or a 9, then his rating would bump up from a 6 to an 8. But if you do not, if you give him a 7, then his rating will stay at a 7. So you have complete power here, Taryn.
I can block people that invested in Tyler. Aha.
Apparently, yes. Sure, that's a lot of the chat.
I'm pretty sure he was the most popular buy. I didn't actually get the stats, but that is not how we operate here. I value my ratings more than anything else.
I just wanted to set the stage for the people listening on the audio version. Yes.
Yes. And so here's the thing. There are a couple of reasons why I'm a little bit skeptical of giving Tyler an 8. Those reasons are, one, he could go home next week. It is in the realm of possibility that if they go after Tyler or go after Cody, Tyler ends up on the block next to him, something along those lines. Maybe it's Cody's safe. Maybe Tyler's the backup. Tyler could go home next week. It is possible. Number two, he's very invested in David. And I think David is more invested in Davon and Bailey than he is Tyler. I had Ovi talk on my Twitch stream about Tyler, and he said that he felt like Tyler would be more loyal to David than to Bailey. That David would be more loyal to Tyler than Bailey and Davon. But I do not feel that way. I think that David is going to be more loyal to them than to Tyler, and I think that him outing the Boys Alliance was part of an example of that.
Okay.
That said, he's not the top target. His relationship with Christmas is extremely valuable. He played this week extremely well in a house of people who played it very poorly. Tyler has shown just how skilled he is at this game, and I just have a lot of faith in him moving forward that he can get out of the situations that he gets put in. And I do feel like of everyone there, he has the most amount of just raw ability to do well. And so
I agree.
With that in mind, I did give him an 8 out of 10. So Tyler will be getting that 8. And I feel confident about his position moving forward. I do think he's probably the best player in that house. Although we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
By the way, just thinking about like Cody and Tyler, and I realized Cody was the first HOH, but like, this is such a deep pull, but someone was reminding me this on Twitter, like, how lucky were we in Big Brother Canada 5 that Karen won HOH and put like two big alpha males right up on the block, got rid of one of them right away. Like the two big alpha white guys gone right away at the beginning of Big Brother, but no such luck. And Big Brother 22, and I wish someone would have the balls like put Cody and Tyler up on the block, but with our luck, honestly, Cody wins safety and chooses Tyler or something, and then Memphis is obviously not going to be Janie's target, so maybe that's how Franzl or Danny end up going. I don't even know what would happen if that happened, but I'm like, we've had like every time I thought Tyler was going to get caught in Big Brother 20, he never did, so I'm not falling for it. I'm like with Franzl and other people, like I'm not falling for that again. Like he's not going to get caught this time. I feel like he's going to continue to do the Tyler thing. And, you know, I don't personally care for him, but he plays a good game.
Yeah. All right. So that is the Stockwatch for the week. I do have some other questions while we hopefully get the leaderboard to update to check in on how everyone is doing. I asked you guys to rate the episodes of Big Brother 22 this week. You gave the episodes a 6.5 out of 10, a 3-point increase from the 6.2 last week. So you felt like the episodes were better, which I agree with. That premiere was not super great, but the episodes since then have been slightly better, but not perfect. I asked you guys to rate the feeds this week. Last week it was a 6.9. This week it was a 7.2, another 3-point increase. The feeds, I agree, have also been better this week. Very exciting, very crazy. Harder to follow, harder to cover, but that's fine. It's been fun. And then asking you to rate the season as a whole so far. Last week was a 7.3. This week, a 7.0, which was weird because the episodes went up 3 points. The feeds went up 3 points. The season as a whole went down 3 points.
I think because they see the writing on the wall. I feel like people are starting to see like,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So we're going to end up with like a Cody, Tyler, Enzo, Nicole.
Christmas.
Final four.
Yeah.
Christmas, final mm-hmm. five.
Yeah.
And that's
something
not exciting.
Like nope, not exciting at all.
Mm. I had you guys rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite players. And I need to quickly sort this by the appropriate thing. And of course, Janelle and Kacer are on top, as they were last week. Last week, though, Devon was in third place. This week, Ian Terry.
Oh.
Yeah. Devon actually falls down to sixth place this week. Yes. Number four, Tyler, who moved up from, I think, seventh last week. Number five, Bailey, right above Devon, moving up from sixth last week. Enzo in seventh below Devon, right around the same spot. And Danny continues to be in a free fall from the top spot in the preseason, ooh, now down in the number eight spot on the list.
The bottom half of Jokers.
Yeah. Then you have Cody and Christmas, who has really risen quite high. Christmas, who is very near the bottom, I think at the bottom in the first poll, last week was second from the bottom. She is now right below Cody, I think in 10th place. something like that. Then David after Christmas, and then Nicole Anthony. Oof. Fourth from last, still not quite all the way down.
Oof.
But very, very far fall from grace. The favorite, the fan favorite last year, now in 12th place overall.
Mm-hmm.
Nicole Franzel is then third from last. Memphis Garrett, second from last. And Kevin Campbell in the very bottom of the list.
Miss Anita Vito, Miss Anita popularity. That's what you need.
Yeah, that's bad.
Rough stuff. All right. So I asked strategically, who should Memphis have targeted this week for his game as HOH? Who should he have targeted this week? What are you guys' opinions? He couldn't target Christmas, Ian, or himself. Mm. Who should have been his target?
I think that the internet is going to say, is that what we're trying to predict?
Give me your answer. What was his best target?
What was his best target?
That's hard. I don't know. I don't know if anyone's really.
I think he should have told Christmas ahead of time, don't save Ian, and then targeted Ian. That's what he should have done.
Yeah, he should have been more open about what he wanted to do, and then that way he wouldn't be put in this situation.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I feel like his nominations as they stand are probably pretty good. Like, he didn't want to target anybody, obviously, in his alliance. He didn't want to do the dirty work for the house and target Janelle and Kacer. Janelle and Kacer leaving them in the game creates more instability in the house. And, you know, even though he's a bit of a prick, like, leaves him on the inside of the onion, so to speak, for people not to look at. So,
yeah, I think the only other person would have been Kevin, just because Kevin is, like, against Janelle, Kacer, Memphis, like,
yeah.
What was he calling them, the trifecta or something? Mm-hmm. I think that would make sense to try and target Kevin, because like, what does he do to benefit his game? If anything, he's just like spreading rumors. So,
yeah. All right. So, David was the top answer, followed by Kevin, and then Nicole Franzel was the top three.
Yeah, I feel like that's partly, though, like the internet is judging it from the way things are now. Like, if you go back in time to when, you know, Memphis first made his picks, I don't think anybody would have said getting David out was like his number one plan.
I don't think David was after him.
Like, we're looking at it after the fact, where, like, you know, David is in the diary room coming from Memphis, and David is talking to people saying, you know, obviously I'm coming from Memphis. Like, that's not how it was before, until he actually nominated him.
Yeah. All right. I asked 2 weeks in, how do you feel about the safety suite twist? Last week, it was a 67 out of 100. Still a failing grade, but pretty good, pretty high in terms of twists. This week, it has passed into the passing grades, 74 out of 100.
And I agree.
People feel even better about it.
Yeah, I think that this is definitely one of their best twists they've done in a while. I think that, like, I believe you talked about it on an update, but it's like, you know, it still gives you an element of chance. It doesn't give you some crazy power. And in the beginning of the game, it doesn't really affect the game that much to just have two people be safe each week. Like, I mean, yes, obviously it impacted the game, but like, there are other targets at the beginning of the game. There aren't just one or two targets. Like, you can pick somebody else to get out. And like, and honestly, so far, it's benefited the like fan favorites at this point. So everyone's cool with it. So I don't know. I mean, obviously if like Janelle or Kacer wins HOH next week, and then Cody and whoever else are safe, Cody and Nicole Franzel or whatever. And it's like, okay, well now Janelle and Kacer have to pick somebody else. Then maybe people aren't going to be so happy about it. But you know, in terms of twists, if we have to have a twist, like, no one got out on the first episode. Like, no one got just like immediately booted, which I was afraid of. Like, there wasn't some crazy like teams twist or anything like that, or, you know, battle of the block or anything like that. So I think overall, in the grand scheme of things, this is a great twist.
There you go. The audience was polled, who do you want to be evicted this week? 65% said Nicole Anthony.
Yeah, either one of them can go, honestly, from my standpoint.
They should both go. Get them out.
And I can't believe I'm saying that about Nicole Anthony, really. Like, look, I mean, she's a sweet girl. And, you know, if she actually stayed this week, you know, look, I think the odds of her getting HOH and targeting Janelle and Kacer herself are pretty low. So, you know, she could probably turn it around popularity-wise. People would naturally root for her because she would be on the outside of the big alliance. I think her popularity would come back up. But as things stand, like, I'm happy to see either one of them go.
All right. And then finally, who do you want to win HOH next week? Unsurprisingly, 50% say Janelle, 22% say Kacer, and then Tyler next with 6%. So Janelle or Kacer HOH is God, what please. Is desired.
That would be so amazing.
Yes. So I think the leaderboard for the Stockwatch at the moment is a little glitched. I see this one person with $400 at the top, which is $100 more than anyone else. I'm pretty sure that's not possible. Despite that, we will work on those bugs. I can tell you that I am in tied for 47th place. I went in on Enzo. Brent is tied for 109th place.
Oh.
Brent went in on Tyler.
I did. Can you believe it?
Melissa is in 601st place.
I thought I was doing it right. What the heck?
What'd you do?
I bought Christmas and Tyler.
Christmas and Tyler, yes, is what Melissa bought.
What's the problem with that? I thought I was doing a good thing.
Christmas well, didn't and, go and as they high both as Tyler did.
They yeah. both made money.
Yeah.
Look, Melissa, you are 601 of over 4,500.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That's well, awesome.
I feel a little better.
I feel so much better after hearing that.
Like, yeah, after hearing that, like, I thought it was like I was literally 600 out of 1,000. Like,
me too. Like I thought maybe like 800 because like, yeah. you know, we've done this like with the first season or so that we did this. There was like, you know, not as
yeah,
many
Big Brother
playing.
Canada was like, nobody was playing, and so it was just like a few. Well, I mean, not nobody, but right. not 4,500.
No, I will say too. I had some friends who actually texted me, and they were like, "So, how do you play the Stockwatch?" Like, they actually thought like you could make money off of this, and I'm like, "No, it's like literally like it's RHAP bucks, yeah. just for pride." They're like, oh, too bad.
I'm
like,
yeah. And just to be clear, this might be because there's clearly some problem with the leaderboard. There might be others as well. So don't take it as gospel quite yet. But in general, I think we all did pretty well overall.
Yeah. Everyone's trying to see y'all are on the site. Like, go back in a couple hours when nobody's.
Yeah, let us check first.
Yeah. By the way, somebody out there said, like, can you explain the Stockwatch? I mean, this is how it happens. Like, we gave ratings last week to start the game, so to speak. It's a game. And everyone chose to buy stocks. They didn't have to buy stocks, but they chose to buy stocks with their fake RHAP money that everyone gets. Anybody can play, and anybody can start playing right now. Like, if you wanted to start playing right now, you could. You can log in through a Twitch account, a Facebook account, I think a Google account. Like, there's a bunch of different ways you can go through and log in. And once you start your account, you'll be given 200 free, you know, RHAP bucks to spend how you want. And then you can, like, once the market opens, probably right after, I'm guessing it's open right now, yes, or maybe soon after this, it'll
yes,
be open.
We might need some time to yeah. to fix some things.
So between tonight when the market opens and right before the show on Thursday, you can buy and sell your stocks and choose what you want to do, and you can check the projections on the site. Like, the site will tell you who made more money. Like, for instance, Enzo, I think, made more money than Tyler, even though Enzo went from a 7 to an 8 and Tyler went from a 6 to an 8. Enzo mm-hmm. made more money because the way...
maybe like 2%.
Yeah, I agree, but yeah. still a little bit. The way that the Stockwatch is designed is to reward players who consistently play well. And since mm-hmm. Enzo had a higher, quote-unquote, good rating before this week and continued to have an even better rating this week, he went up just a little bit more than Tyler, who, you know, obviously improved from a 6 to an 8. So
yes.
that's basically it. Just look at the projections. The projections will help you out. And sometimes it doesn't make sense, but you just have to consider the tenet of the Stockwatch, which is good players get rewarded well for playing well consistently. And the converse is true, that bad players get penalized for playing bad consistently. So watch out for that.
Yes. And the formula, it tries to emulate a market. So it will take into account the history of a player as well. So it's not that often that you see weird situations where like a 6-8 is 2% less than a 7-8. But for the most part, it should make sense. That was like an unfortunate, one off that happened at the start of the season. In general,
I'm okay with it.
It makes a certain amount of sense, but we try to make it as simple as possible. That's why we put so much effort into the site, so that it's very easy to buy and sell, and you can see exactly where people will be based on the ratings and all of that. So hopefully you guys have some fun with it. And I think that's what we have here. If you want more explanation about the Stockwatch, or you need more tips or tricks or anything, I am going to be streaming weekly on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, somewhere before the episode airs, where I will give my advice on who to buy and sell. I will give you my thoughts on how I think I will rate people the following week, based on my own thoughts about
He also gives his thoughts and shades me and Melissa on
how
our
I
ratings.
Think they will rate.
Wow. Have you been doing that, Taryn?
What he said? I listened to him when he was talking about Tyler. He was like, Brent and Melissa, I mean, come on. Like,
they gave him fives last week.
Wow.
They're the reason he's 2% less than Enzo, because they were so down on him last week.
I should have known. I should have known you were just shading us the whole time on your Twitch channel. That's all you do on there.
That's crazy. But if you're
confused about anything, you can find me on there. You can ask me a question. I will answer it. I will give as much advice as I can for how to play and all of that. So check all of that out. Anything else? Any final thoughts we need to give before we wrap up here?
Let's just hope we get a good HOH.
I agree.
That would be a lot of fun. Oh, that'd be so much fun.
So good.
Yes. So I'll be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. And it's also going to be a Wednesday, so there will be an episode, and we'll have a recap afterward to talk about it. And then Thursday, there'll be an eviction, and we'll talk about that as well. So you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Go there, hit the follow button. You'll be alerted when I go live. Brent, where can
you find me at One Lucky Gay? That's one spelled out, O-N-E, and follow me for anything fun and exciting on Twitter.
All right. And Melissa.
It's Melissa with 3 A's on all social media platforms.
All right. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you, Brent and Melissa, for joining me. Always great to talk to you guys. And we'll see you later.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.